following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Oh, okay. Now,
he gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't think. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
Is there a girl you're seeing?
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please. Not yet.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. We're here at Gillette Stadium, but the team is in San Diego, getting ready for the Chargers in what is going to be a very important game when it comes down to it for both teams. So, you know, because of the Patriots' loss to the Packers and the San Diego comeback against the Ravens, this has taken on a little bit more significance for both teams. So we're excited about that. We're excited to talk about this Green Bay game. And, you know, I'm disappointed the Patriots went in there and the offense only scored 21 points. I'm disappointed that they couldn't get off on third down. But I hear all this talk about, like, you know, all the fans are happy about this. I don't know. Paul hears it. I haven't heard it. You know, but if also the haters think that, you know, we're supposed to curl up in a ball like we did the last time the Patriots lost in Kansas City, sorry, as Mike Felger would say. You know, it's just not the same type of loss. It's not the type of loss where we come out of it saying, oh, my God, the Patriots have all these problems and there's no way they can compete for the Super Bowl. No, it's not. We went in against a team that we knew was good in their place, and they lost by 5 points, and there's a lot to be disappointed about, but you move on. You know that you've got a good team, and there's nothing in that game that told you that you were wrong. So they didn't play up to snuff. And I think Green Bay played pretty well as expected. You didn't win. Now you got to win against San Diego. I don't think there's any reason to, like, freak out like we did the last time the Patriots won. There's no reason to be happy, you know, but there's no reason to, you know, like, freak out like I just said. So I don't know what everyone's talking about. I don't know why after this game there's, like, everyone's, like, taking sides about how we should react in this game. I don't get it, guys.
What exactly are people allowed to feel?
I don't know exactly what we're supposed to say.
I just hear all this stuff about...
Don't freak out, but don't take it.
Fans are
don't
happy.
Accept it.
Fans are happy about the loss. Who's saying that?
A lot of people.
No, people.
A lot of
people
are pretty happy.
People are saying that, but who are the people that are happy?
Oh, Patriots fans.
Really?
Yes, I've heard a lot of people say that if the game were on a neutral field, the Patriots are clearly superior to Green Bay.
Clearly superior? I don't know
you know,
about that.
That's what a lot of people have said, and, you know, I've heard a lot of comparisons to St. Louis in November of 2001.
Well, that's
when
nonsense.
They came here.
That's literally moronic.
But who says that? But who said that?
I don't know, Fred. I didn't get all their names.
No, but is this like people on talk radio calling in?
Call it, yes. Yeah. And you know, various
and I asked.
And
he
stuff.
Did turn the radio on. I was a little worried that he was just hearing voices.
I don't know why you're yelling at me. I'm not the one that has, like, two arguments going on simultaneously in his head like Fred just opened the
show. You really did. You're mad at everybody. Well, if you're okay mad with the loss, I'm mad at you.
If you're mad about the loss,
I don't understand why,
curl up in the fetal position the way you did the last time.
I don't understand why going to Green Bay and losing by 5 points creates such a divide.
What divide? That's my point.
I hear people saying Patriots fans are happy. What are they doing?
Who?
I heard Felger say it.
And First of all, anything you hear from Felger, you need to take with a grain of salt.
Shaughnessy wrote it.
What did he write?
He wrote exact same thing. Like, you know, we've become soft in Boston. Then he lists the Celtics and the Bruins and the Reds and Patriots. You know, they just, I forget the exact words, but, you know, they just lost and everyone's acting like it was a great, win.
I'll give you one example of something I saw yesterday, and Andy's going to go apoplectic now because I'm going to bring up Matt Chatham, who I saw on Nesson say, the Patriots couldn't have played any worse, the Packers couldn't have played any better, and the Packers won by 5 at Lambeau Field. Nothing to worry about here. I think that is a gross misrepresentation of the game. I think both teams played pretty well, number one. I don't think anybody played poorly. I think both teams played pretty well. Neither team played to the best of its capability. Right. But they both played pretty well. And home field, I think had an impact in the game.
I don't see any need to rush to the defense of this loss.
I don't either, and I also don't see any need to jump all over this loss as a sign that there's, fatal flaws that were exposed in this game. I think going into the game in the pregame social, Andy, Mark, and I talked a lot about this was a game that, you want to win it, okay? But no matter what happened in the game, nothing was going to change our opinions that both of these teams are good teams and they're going to both be Super Bowl contenders in their respective conferences.
See, that I would disagree with, though, Paul. Things could have happened in this game that would have...
Nothing could have happened to change that to me.
Well, if the Patriots had gone out there and, given up 50 points, I would have been worried. I would have been really worried, but they didn't.
Well, I feel better that they didn't do that, but I still would believe that at 9-4, I'm sorry, what is it, 9-3?
Yeah.
That they're still a front runner for the AFC representative in the Super Bowl. Yeah. Even if they had laid an egg and turned the ball over 5 times and lost by 30 points.
I agree with you in terms of playoff structure. Yeah, but things could have happened in this game where I would say, well, here we go again. They're going to face a good team in the playoffs and probably not do well.
But you can't say that because you took care of the Colts and Broncos. That's already historic. The teams you're going to go through, for the most part, you've battled and won. No,
look, again.
So I still feel like if they had to play those teams again, they would win.
Let's not focus on things that didn't happen. Let's focus on what did happen. Again, I don't feel the need to rush to the defense of this loss. I think it was – I wanted to win. I thought they would win.
They could have won.
I think they could have won.
They also could have gotten blown out.
I think they could have played better. And I think in some places they played pretty –
They did.
Played pretty well.
I think both teams left this game saying they're comfortable with what happened – but we could have played better, and it would have. The Patriots could have won this game very easily. Correct? Don't you think? I mean, if they don't up a touchdown at the end of the second quarter, and then they hold the Packers to 3 points the rest of the way, you're going to win that football game. Whereas the Packers say, if I don't kick 3 field goals in the first half, I'm blowing you off your doors off. I think they both can argue that. Right. And that's generally what the case is when you have two teams that play pretty well and are pretty good.
The Patriots don't generally give up long plays. They gave up a boatload of them in this game.
They did.
The Packers don't usually go 0-for-4 in the red zone. They did in this game.
Right.
So I think what Andy just said, capsulize it.
I think you're right.
It's
both. So stop, the bottom line, stop listening to whatever you're listening to. Just make your own assessment of the game.
Yeah, you have a lot of voices in your head.
Your
assessment is if you hated the game, you're an idiot. If you loved the game, you're an idiot.
Basically, your assessment is just be flatline. They lost the game. Don't have any emotion into it. Don't feel really bad about it. Don't feel really good about it.
Just accept it as a loss. I don't think this is one of those games where you make these huge conclusions like we did.
And no one is.
But haven't we learned that there aren't any games
like
that?
No one is.
The haters are upset.
You're wrong about that.
No one is making a grand assessment based on
that. There are people doing it both ways.
They are. You're right, Paul.
Real people?
Yes. Well, I don't know. What do you consider a real person? Is someone who emails into SPFW a real person?
I don't know. Depends.
Because I just read one.
Was it Jonas Gray?
I just read one where they talked about the defensive line needs to be completely rebuilt because that's the fatal flaw. This team can't stop anybody. I don't even know what they were talking about. They can't get any pass rush. They can't stop anybody.
And I also got another email that said the offensive line again overwhelmed by an elite defensive front, which Green Bay is. I don't even know how to answer that because Green Bay doesn't have an elite defensive front. And I also don't think their offensive line was overwhelmed in the game. I thought they had some struggles. I thought they gave up some pressure that they haven't really been giving up in recent weeks. But so that's some people like that.
Yeah.
I also got an SPFW that said basically the first part of what Andy's saying, what Fred was starting to say about all this post-game chatter, this loss is going to be beneficial in the long run. They went to Lambeau. They took their best shot. They lost by 5 points. And the next time that those two teams play, the Patriots will kill them. This is a good loss. So there are, I mean, I don't know if you consider fans that email in a cross-section of what anybody's thinking of. If you don't then that's
hard
fine.
To tell.
But I've heard what Fred's talking about, I've heard both sides of.
Yeah.
Nothing to worry about here, and the sky is falling.
The haters
here.
Are mad that the fans aren't more upset about the loss, and there are that section that Paul's saying of, you know, next time we'll kill them, this show, you know. No,
Tom
next,
Brady's
next
mad.
Time I expect as close a game as this one.
Tom
was.
Brady's mad about the loss.
Because, yes, the Patriots will have seen what the Packers did, and they'll be ready for that next time, and vice versa. So it's just going to be as tough a struggle the next time, regardless of where they play, as it was this time.
Maybe.
But good teams with good coaches, that's what happens.
Maybe. I mean, I certainly think either team,
you know. But that's what I expect.
Neither team turns the ball over, but if one of them suddenly turns the ball over, that swings a game.
But anything can happen. But
they played to their resume in that
era. But going in, isn't that what you'll be expecting?
I'll tell you what, if they go again, I'll be happy that I'm expecting that game. I'll be happy that I'm expecting Rodgers versus Brady in a Super Bowl. I think this game delivered. I think it was a battle that went back and forth.
Yeah.
And if that's your Super Bowl, based on last year's game, for example, that was not a battle that delivered.
If you're Tom Brady.
Freaking Brady.
If you're Tom Brady, and he was upset after the game. If you're Tom Brady, I understand why he, in particular, is upset. Because if this is, in his mind, a big game, a big test, he and the team has come up short in those games.
Yeah, but I think he's always mad when he loses.
No, I know, but he even said, this one particularly hurt because we put a lot into this.
We had a chance at Lambeau Field to do.
Yeah, so I think he looked at this at that level where this is a game, a playoff-type game against a playoff-type team where we had a shot and we didn't do it. And since 04, you know, I hate to go back to that. But
yeah, but see, I don't buy that necessarily.
I don't put this in the game since 04. I put this as a game this year, but
if they had lost to Denver and Indy, maybe.
That's why
I think that monkey's
different.
Off your back. You're going to lose to some good teams on the road. No, that's just the way the league works.
We know that. We know that. But
he knows that. It's just an emotion for him.
He also talked about, you know, the situation. You know, he said, I think if you had asked a lot of our guys, we'll have the ball on the 20-yard line with a chance to take the lead in the last 5 minutes, everybody would have signed up for that, and we didn't get it done.
Right.
So there's definitely some
another way it was kind of
I'm
like
glad he's upset. You know, bottom line, I'm glad he's
upset. I don't
think
they had that kind of a chance to score.
I'm glad he's
Super
upset,
Bowls.
And I want him to be more upset than
not sure he needs to yell
Kansas
an F-bomb
City.
With a pause in between.
Well, that was
times.
I mean, now we got a lot of emails, or, you know, I saw a lot of emails come through the website and to the team about, you know, Tom Brady's a leader. You know, he knows that kids are watching. He shouldn't be doing that. And then I also had some that blamed it on CBS for staying on him doing that. Where do you guys fall on that, if anywhere?
Personally, neither side.
I thought it was a little weird from Brady's perspective. I can see the immediate bleep reaction, but then there was a pause, then another one, and then a pause, and another one. Yeah. It just felt a little weird to me.
Yeah.
Did you ever get so mad that you just start, you know, you say that, and then you don't really have anything else to say?
Well,
you just keep saying it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not like that. Generally, when I reach the point where there's a pause, that allows me to, like, come back a little bit.
Well, sometimes when there's a pause, I think about it, and I get even more mad.
Yeah, and
I
say
think
it again.
That's what happened.
And I've done that.
Right.
I mean, I have a terrible mouth. But
Tom Brady on the field.
Yeah, yeah. I've done that a lot of times.
Yeah, and he was frustrated, and I think hopefully more at himself than the defense.
But I don't blame CBS for showing it because
that's
drama. I mean, it is entertainment. They're trying to get the raw emotion of the quarterback and. Did they know he was going to, you know, when they see him say it the first time, did they say, oh, click off that? No, I think that guy should be fired if they did that.
Right.
And I also think it's ridiculousness on the part of people writing in. And I did read that one. Oh, I was a big Tom Brady fan, but no more after this. I mean, go away.
Yeah. Oh, no, I saw.
Tom doesn't need you.
I've read
that's stupid.
I've read at least a dozen of those types of emails.
So they are saying.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, I only had read the one on AskPFW, but in this case, there's a dozen. So yeah.
That's those people.
I think that's silly.
They're going to get worked up over something. I mean, kids notice. I'll tell you, my son said, did you see what Brady said when they lost? And I go, yeah, and you don't say that, right? No. Oh. But, I mean, he knew exactly what he said.
Going to a new sports field. Oh, my God.
It's funny. My son said, did you see what Tom said after the game? That's exactly what you say all the time. He didn't really say that.
All right. WebRadio@Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500.
Lost didn't really seem to bother Gronk.
Let's dive. Yeah, with Bieber, we'll get into that later. But let's dive a little deeper.
Okay.
Let's get into the whole thing.
A deeper dive.
A lot of people said.
Hopefully we're not going to the 3-foot end like you sometimes do.
Right. A lot of people said Patriots were out coached.
Yes, God, yes.
You believe that?
Yes. I thought it was one of their worst coaching performances of the season.
Okay.
I thought Mike McCarthy batted them around and had a little fun with them. I thought they made adjustments that were bad. They didn't make adjustments that were good. I thought they outthought themselves. By, is it going to be Blunt or Gray? Because we're going to run right at him because their run defense stinks. So let's run right at him. And instead, it's Brandon Bolden and Shane Vereen. And Brandon Bolden, who hasn't played running back since Lord only knows
really?
When.
Really? I don't think he's carried the ball since the Vikings
game. And by the way, he had a nice touchdown run.
He did.
I do need to tell you, but right. I wanted them to come out and be a power run offense against them, and I thought they got away from that way too early. They started playing like it was a game that was out of hand when it wasn't out of hand. And then defensively, I thought they made some adjustments that they started out with Revis on Cobb and, Nelson and Browner, and we all thought they would, size based, and I thought it was okay early. Logan Ryan was getting bitch slapped around by Davante Adams, and then their adjustment to that was seemingly to change everything up. And I thought that put them in worse positions. Ryan still got beat up on. Then later, Dennard got beat up on in that matchup. And you ended up with defenses that allowed Randall Cobb to be one-on-one with Ninkovich. Rob Ninkovich. And by the way, not just Randall Cobb. It's really bad for Randall Cobb. It's also bad when they did it with James Starks at the end of the first half, which actually came right before the play that changed the game. You could say it's one of the two plays that changed the game. He got like 26 or 28 yards, one-on-one with Ninkovich running a wheel route down the sideline. And it's not just that Ninkovich is in coverage. Okay, that happens sometimes. But on a day when your pass rush was not very good.
Well, that's the thing.
You also vacated the left defensive end spot, allowing Rodgers to just take his time and roll out. So even if he didn't hit Starks, I didn't like the defense with Ninkovich being taken off that edge. So I just thought in a lot of different ways that the Packers made the adjustments and had the better game plan and the Patriots did not. Some of it was physical. You know, I think on some level they were going to try to run a little bit. They had Cannon as the Cameron Fleming, and he stunk. He could not have been much worse in that role early on. But why do you have Cannon and then Vereen and Bolden?
Right.
And I don't like that.
Right.
And then Blunt had a good run. Okay, so he's 6 yards, I think, after the pass to LaFell, because we always start with LaFell. That's how we start games.
Right.
It's the LaFell ratio.
Hey, if it ain't fit, broken, don't fix it, right?
And then they go to the ground game with the first run, and then they get two runs for 2 yards and no yards or 1 yard, so you have to punt. And it was like, that was one of those where, okay, we're not going to be able to run it today. Well, how do you know? The first run was 6 yards. I liked that run.
Yeah, they came out and they tried to run and got stopped, and it was almost like the next time they got the ball, they're down 6-0, and they said, okay, well, we tried to run the last time, so we got to throw it this time, and that didn't work, and then they got out of balance. I totally agree with all Andy said, and that's another thing. If you're in that camp that you think that this is not the end of the world, you know, let's not make it out to be a good loss because there is no such thing. But if you're in the camp that is not – the sky isn't falling, that's another thing in your favor, because I don't think that you go into many games worried about Bill Belichick getting outcoached.
Well,
I think I agree with everything Andy just said. I think Bill and his staff didn't have a great game on Sunday. I thought McCarthy was a step ahead. I thought that they came out and ran it right down their throat in the first drive, and then the Patriots adjusted to that, and then they started throwing it all over the place with balls downfield, which they haven't allowed all year. They took away what the Packers, quote-unquote, wanted to do, which is everybody always applauds Bill Belichick for taking away the number one thing, didn't matter. The Packers had answers. They were ready to go Randall Cobb out of the backfield, James Starks on a wheel route, Davante Adams, 6 for 121. McCarthy was a step ahead all day.
And how much of all, you know, the adjustments not working was just because Rodgers. I mean, had you made those same adjustments with a Stafford or somebody else like that, you might have gotten away with it. But
oh, sure.
Rodgers is just so good that
– but
and he had time.
I don't look at it that way. I mean – yeah. I still try to maximize. I still think there should have been a check of some sort, whether it's checking to zone or getting out of it. I don't think Rob Ninkovich and Randall Cobb should be one-on-one. I just don't.
No.
There should be an out. Time freaking out if you need to.
Yeah, that was a bad one. But I also
but
think,
even the Starks one to me is bad.
You know, and I don't know if there was a specific way that they went about this game in terms of trying to get pressure. If they were so concentrated on not allowing Rodgers to escape the pocket, because they seem to, even on some of the plays that he had all day to throw, they seem to kind of stay in their lanes.
Oh,
no one pursued him.
No, it was a complete contain. They had one guy on the edge that if he gets in there, fine, but otherwise we're going to just stay where we are.
And I thought that was an error, and I also thought the game deciding play, you know, the game ultimately comes down to 1/3 and 4, right? After everything is said and done, all the mistakes that you made all day, you have a chance to get the ball back with 2 minutes left, no timeouts. And it's 3rd and 4, and he had as much time on that play as virtually any other play. All Rodgers did was take a little step back. He didn't have to move left or right. He didn't have to, like, put the ball down and look around to get away from the rush. Why not come after him there with some pressure? Die with your boots on. I mean, just go and get him. And I know that they didn't blitz. I know that wasn't the game plan, but to me, that's a play that I would have had Collins and Hightower in the old double A gap blitz, Andy, that Sports Illustrated wrote like a research paper on a couple of weeks ago. I would have.
It's funny because Gruden did a whole pregame package on it last night,
yeah,
too.
I would have, and the Jets, by the way, did that early in the game. Not that it mattered or anything, but just to sit back and hope that Rodgers, this is the play that Rodgers isn't going to find anybody.
Right.
To me, was not good. Right down in the end.
So that is disappointing. But again, when they play again, hopefully, you know, you'll correct that. I'm saying when.
Yeah, the only thing about
What if the Packers don't get there? Maybe the Patriots get there.
That's the other thing. Mike Silver, who, you know, writer for, who's he work for now?
NFL Network.
NFL.com.
He says, NFL Media.
You know, one thing is for sure, the Packers are unstoppable at home. Well, yeah, they are undefeated, but they could have been stopped. It's not like they rolled over the Patriots. You know,
they were not unbeatable yesterday.
Yeah.
Or Sunday.
Oh, I think unbeatable and unstoppable, I don't look at it the same way. I mean, I think he's talking about the offense.
Well, I didn't read it. I just read the headline.
Oh, well,
his headline.
Okay. Yeah. Then you might be right. He might be talking about a larger point. Yeah. I think if you're talking about the offense, I know a lot of people have talked about the 26 points. I mean, this is why, and there are a few times that this has happened over the years, this is why yards and stuff matter. And when you can't get off the field on third down, it matters. When you let the other team go 10 for 17, when you only have the ball for 25 minutes, you can't score.
Because you couldn't get off the on third down, you lost this game. I mean, so it did matter.
Because you couldn't stop the other team's offense.
But you did better against the Green Bay than other teams do, right? I mean, that's...
Some.
Yeah.
Yes, you didn't give up 50 and give blowed out.
You gave four less points than everybody else does, yeah. You were a little bit better.
Not lately, Paul. At home, they average over 40 points a game.
But I'm not talking about lately. I'm talking about they average 30 points a game, right?
Okay, the Patriots' defense did better against Green Bay than other defenses have.
In terms of allowing points, I would say yes.
Yes.
In terms of everything else, I would say no.
What did they score the week before in Minnesota? 24?
21? 24? That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm not going off of, like, 26. I think everybody would – I thought they were going to win 34-27, so that's right around what I thought they were going to be.
I said 30s to 20s.
But to sit there and say it was a great defensive performance because they
held
them
below
everybody else is, I don't think they did a very good job on Sunday.
They struggled.
I think they were extremely fortunate to only allow 26 points. And I would even say – if the plays in the red zone, like Hightower had a big sack in the red zone on one of the, if that's how they got stopped all four times in the red zone, I would even say, hey, they came up with big plays when they needed them. But I'm sorry, Devontae Adams is running completely unchecked. Logan Ryan, not even in the same area code, and the guy just drops the ball at the goal line.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they only allowed 26 points, was a lot of really good fortune.
But there was also some good defensive play, I thought, in the red zone.
Not a lot.
I thought so.
I thought he missed Adams on another play that I think Adams should have gotten his feet inbounds when he actually caught the ball and didn't get his feet down.
Yeah, I'm not freaking out. I'm not like after the Kansas City game where we came out and said they just can't stop the run, period. I'm not coming out of the game thinking that. You know?
No, because they gave up chunk plays against the run, and then they were otherwise somewhat solid.
Well, that's an adjustment that I would give, and we talked about this in the postgame show, that I would give in their favor is I think Lacy had 39 yards in his first three carries. From that point on, and I know you can't eliminate it, but from that point on, I thought they did a pretty good job against the running game. The one thing I would say is I thought Lacy did turn in a couple of pretty good runs in the fourth quarter when they needed them. And I thought an underrated run was first down they ran for like one or two, timeout, you know, the last drive. The next run, you got like four or five yards, and that set up a third and four, which is a much easier down to manage than third and nine. If they had come up with another stop there and made it third and nine, that little flip to Cobb probably doesn't get the first down.
Do you get the sense that the Patriots on defense are so scheme-centric and, you know, specialized in their packages that when they guess wrong, it's really wrong, and you see those huge gaping holes and –
I think they have some limitations up front. Yeah. I think they have some limitations up front against the run in the pass. I don't think they're
And in order to overcome those limitations, they need to kind of
Well, they certainly didn't overcome it against the pass.
They need
the pass
to
kind of
guess right, you know?
I think they have some limitations on defense that can be exposed by a good offense, but I think a lot of teams do. And I kind of put this a little more on the offense. I think
Oh, yeah.
This
felt like
a Super Bowl where I'm saying, there's your offense that I had said rolls out of bed and gets 35, and it didn't.
I think this is one of those games where you can really think too much, and really your first thought and instinct is probably the right one. And mine after the game was, the offense didn't.
We were back to where we started the season.
Yeah.
Punt. You know, early in games. That's not how you win in the NFL, by allowing the other team to get off to a good start. Especially, it was a focus in Green Bay. Whatever that number was in the first quarter, 119-0 or some stupid number. And they go out and run seven plays. Other than the LaFell play, you punted. You went basically three and out. I'm sorry. If I'm going to laud you as being this great offense that I think can score on anybody when they want, when they need to, don't start a game with two straight punts, especially if you do that against Brian Hoyer or, you know, Geno Smith.
You're lackluster.
But if you do it against Aaron Rodgers, more often than not, you're going to dig a hole you don't want to be in.
And then when you do that and you still are only down 6-0 after they've had the ball twice, you know, it's like, okay, and they still couldn't take advantage of that.
Right, this was a complimentary loss.
Yeah.
Because once the offense did put a couple touchdowns on the board, then the defense just gives it right away by Revis.
Right.
I mean, and that was the dagger. That was, that you just can't allow that.
You know what that was? 96 Super Bowl, Patriots get really close, and then they return that kickoff. That was kind of the feeling.
Yeah, but at least a kickoff is
a lot of historical references to this game. Yeah. I like it.
This is Darrell Revis
Same
on
team.
Jordy Nelson. And everybody tells me that Devin McCourty is the best free safety in football. Didn't look like it on that play.
You know,
Didn't look like it at all.
As bad as Revis got beat on that play, I think McCourty had the more egregious error.
Well, you know what it's a lot like? I liken it to the Welker Brady play in the Super Bowl, where Brady eliminated the touchdown and Welker eliminated the play because he didn't catch it. Well, Revis gave up the play.
Right.
McCourty gave up the touchdown.
They combined to screw up.
Because
I actually think that Green Bay made a mistake. When they threw the wheel route that you're talking about to James Starks for 28 yards, I think they should have called a timeout there. They had two timeouts. That took them a good 15 seconds to get upfield. When that play ended, that touchdown, do you know how much time was left in the half?
14 seconds.
14
Ooh,
seconds. So if Andy's right there,
I must have known,
and you end up getting, let's say that's a slant, I'll even give him 15 yards. It probably shouldn't even have been that much, but I'll give him 15 yards. Clearly they're in field goal range, but they got to call timeout now. They're probably not getting a touchdown.
Right.
You're going to line up for the next play around the 30-yard line.
That was a big, big let up.
So now you call timeout. Now Belichick and Patricia, they talk. They're going to put a defense together. They're not going to give up a 30-yard touchdown on that last play of the half. So that was a huge error by McCourty, and you see it on the and Andy did this for the Take Tuesday.
It's not quite up yet.
Oh, it's not up yet. Okay. But you see McCourty, I don't know where he's going. he's drifting off to his left.
Well, he said he took a wrong angle.
I think the problem is, I think the problem was his pre-snap alignment. He actually was on the defensive right hash, almost a little past the defensive right hash, and I'm guessing he realized he didn't want to be that far over. You had Quarles and Nelson were the two guys on this side, and you had Patrick Chung on Quarles, Revis on Nelson. And then at the snap, he's moving in that direction. And it's like, why we've talked about it with
he
the Bolden
to his
back.
Left.
Yes. Yeah. And I think he was caught out of position. So he's trying to over position. And it happened at the exact, cause then he ends up on the outside of the left hash, just as Nelson's catching it on the hash. So he had overrun the play. And I think part of it was Quarles getting to the outside, cause Quarles ran right off of Nelson's ass. Nelson cut in on the slant. And because he had started up so far to the right, he was overrunning the play to the left. The timing, boom, and he just couldn't catch up.
Yeah, and he said he turned it into a foot race. He took the wrong angle.
Well, he also turned it into a foot race that he started with about a four-yard deficit going in the wrong direction. Yeah. He actually did a pretty good job of getting back to it speed-wise, but he had put himself in a can't-win situation.
I thought, and that could be true, what you're talking about is alignment. I thought that maybe he was getting in position to get over and give high safety help for the go, because I think that maybe he thought Nelson was just going. And then all of a sudden, Nelson put his foot in the ground and cut to do the slant, because that was a little bit of a deeper slant than normal, I thought. But maybe you're right. Maybe he was just lined up maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I don't
bit,
know what and, drew and was, him that way, because it could have been Quarles.
Clearly
Quarles
going,
ran an out, and an out at that situation is not ridiculous either.
You don't need to give help there unless Chung misses the tackle.
He might have just said, oh, yeah, the situation here, they're at the 45, they run an 8-yard out, they're at the 17 with whatever time left. Maybe he was trying to get to the out, and just in his head, he kind of overran the whole thing.
All right. I'm sorry to the haters that, I'm not curled up in the fetal position, but it was a
He's
tough...
He's talking to no one.
It was a tough loss throughout, and we'll move on. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Injuries, though, we need to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, Wednesday, you're worried about that,
when that report, I saw a lot of guys limping after the game.
Yeah, our eyeballs on site
I don't know
concerned.
The extent of the injuries, obviously, but, Hightower is obviously the most notable. He left the game, didn't come back. We think it's some upper body, shoulder.
No, he did come back. Yeah, he did come back.
Oh, I didn't see him.
He was out there for that last play. He made a great play.
He came back.
And almost,
okay. But I don't read anything into that, that he came back.
He's hurt.
He had to be back.
Right.
I think that's one of those, other than a head injury where now you're not allowed to, I think he had to be back. Cut off the finger if you need to, whatever.
That's the most, I'd say,
concerning,
problematic
of all of them. But, a lot of guys were limping. Vereen, Edelman. Revis was limping, so we'll see what happens.
Andy wasn't happy with it.
Might have been a little Geno Wilson in that limp.
Yeah.
Giving up a 45-yard. Oh, he pushed off. Not that that's an excuse, but he pushed off.
Good use of Geno right there. Geno Wilson. That was good use of that.
Yeah, I felt like appropriate. I don't know why.
All right, let's get to it. A lot of people want to chime in here in PFW in progress. Let's start with Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Great game. Tough loss, obviously, but, you finally played a team, as Paul says, that didn't wet down their leg, and they made plays. I mean, that Jordy Nelson play was an elite play, A lot of people saying, like you guys said, McCourty, obviously, was sort of starting towards the left and didn't take a good angle, and Revis got beat. I mean, call it what it was. Revis got beat on the play. And, I look at games, and I always say, whether you win or lose, what can you take out of it? And when you win, you look and you say, what are the positives you can take out of it? Like, last week against the Lions, you could take their Tim Wright at 2 touchdown catches, this week with a loss, what are you concerned about? Nothing much, really. Aside from the injuries, listen, the offense didn't play its best, obviously, but, the defense, they held them to 3 points in the second half. What more do you want? There were a lot of yards given up. I understand that. And they did move the ball. It's been at the beginning of the year, and it's still up. And at this point, I still have the number one concern for me is ultimately the pass rush. And, Andy wrote up a great point about Ninkovich, sort of him being taken away from the design of the defense. And you got Ayers, and that's it.
Chandler's coming back.
Well, we need him.
They do need him.
And they need him big time.
They do need him.
you know, I'm definitely, you know, this is one of the things I'm really disappointed in. I know he's a rookie, but I'm disappointed in Easley. I just thought we'd get more out of him at this point, even with the injuries. I just thought we would have seen a couple more flashes from him.
Yep.
And so that's an issue. Do you guys mentioned about the out coaching? Was it more of the Patriots being out coached, or more of Aaron Rodgers, you know, being that good and being that prepared?
See, I think it's more the latter. I understand that, yeah, probably they had a better day from the sidelines, but I think so much of it is Rodgers.
Well, but it is.
So,
yeah.
But if I'm going to praise Bill Belichick for preparing for everything, and he told me he knew that they put Randall Cobb in the backfield, then when they get a big play off a defensive end in coverage in the backfield, then I have to say, you were outcoached because you said you knew it was coming and didn't prepare for it, didn't have a check.
And I'm sorry, but if you were relying on that, on Rodgers not being able to do that, that's bad coaching.
Yeah.
In. He's the best quarterback in football. The best. I mean, bar none right now.
You had to prepare for the specific players that you're playing against. So something that you might have been able to get away with against Jay Cutler is not something you might necessarily get away with against Aaron Rodgers.
But coaching. I think you're limited. I think there's only so much you can do in this day and age against a quarterback like that. I think, and you do your best.
But Andy's point is
they didn't do their best.
They didn't do their best.
Throughout the game of 60 minutes, you're going to get caught up at times.
They didn't do their best, though.
Well, that's,
I think they're better than that.
It was scheme.
I think Bill Belichick is better than that.
That's fair, but I also think so much of it is Rodgers.
It is. But the execution is Rodgers.
It was scheme related to get Ninkovich on Randall Cobb on that play. That was the scheme, and that's not a good scheme.
And yes,
that's not
players
because of
execute.
Aaron Rodgers.
Players execute. That's why the defense is better with Revis this year than it's been. But if we're going to praise Belichick for the ultimate in preparation, that was not good preparation, not having a check or something out of that look.
That's fine.
Yep. And a question about the potential Gronk TD. Is that a great play by Haha, or is it just, does Gronk?
First of all, I think I couldn't believe Gronk even got his hands on the ball. Everyone says it was a perfectly thrown ball.
No, it's terrible.
I think the opposite.
That was a horrific throw.
I think it was like
for Gronkowski.
I think it was a lefty curveball that was fading away from the strike zone, and Gronk made an amazing play that, you know, to get his hands on the ball, and then. Yes.
Andy, stop laughing.
That was funny. I didn't expect him to say that.
It was
just very funny.
It was a good description of the play.
But yeah. I think you got to put that ball up in the air where he can go get it. He's the biggest dude on the field. Let him go get it.
Yeah, I definitely think that too. With his height advantage, his side throwing up every time.
Yeah, those big mitts.
He's gonna win that.
I mean, yeah.
He's grabbing balls one hand in the air. What's he gonna do with two?
Right.
You know what I mean? Put it.
Let
it
give him a chance.
Right. I was just
geek alert. I got a geek alert. Fred, what did you think of the Star Wars trailer?
I loved it. Loved it. I was weeping about 30 seconds into it. I can't wait.
Can't wait. Unbelievable. All right.
but
you guys are funny.
But you do have to wait, right? Is it Christmas next year? Is that what's coming up?
Yeah, it's like next year from now.
Yeah.
Christmas 15?
Yeah. And these geeks are excited about 80 seconds.
Good things are worth waiting for.
But you weren't happy with the new-look lightsaber. Is that?
I'm just wondering. I'm assuming that the little cross part does more than just guard the hand or act like a dagger, because otherwise that could be dangerous.
Oh, I could see myself cutting myself.
Yeah.
If this was a real thing and you got these two... Yeah. Deathly.
But if you look at some of the people that have really geeked out and analyzed it, it looks like...
You mean beyond this?
Yeah. It looks like a poorly made lightsaber because of the electrical arcing in the beam itself. It's probably crudely made. So the people are...
In real life.
No. In the movie.
Well, but yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah.
Not the special effects.
No. Like,
it's intentionally bad.
It was intentionally crudely made to show that this was someone who was rising up from the dark force and had to cobble this together type thing.
He just crossed a line there into real geek.
Not being a Star Wars aficionado, where does this place in the chronology?
Seven.
This is 30 years after Luke and everybody, you know, figured everything out.
It's real time.
Yeah.
That's why they're in it. It's you know what I mean? It's whatever they've aged since the original movie.
Right.
That's why they're in it.
So Harrison Ford's 80 years old and he's still driving around in the Falcon. Yeah. Falcon. Oh.
I actually wasn't sure for a minute, and he's the Star Wars guy.
Or,
so.
Or MF, as we say it.
Was that okay? Because I heard some talk of, you know...
Well, they redid it. He changed his radar on top to a little rectangle instead of a round one, which got clipped off by one of the Imperial battleships before. So he got a little smarter in how he designed his radar on top of the Falcon.
Was that a helicopter upside down in the streets of San Miguel?
That's what it looked like. Blew up.
Is that Jimmy Fallon doing the Channel 7 news? Anyway.
One thing I think we should address, even though it's a situation we don't generally address, just the Aaron Hernandez news from yesterday that both Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick were on a list of 305 potential witnesses.
No surprise, right?
No. Yeah. The trial starts January 9th, which I'm assuming is the bye week, but depending on how those 305 witnesses, if they actually have to testify,
right.
I mean, that's going to be potentially a football story in early January.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I just think that's – and Harold Nash, who had Tom Brady on a dog leash on the sideline during the game, is also on the list. Brandon Spikes, Pouncey, some of the notable names. But I just think, you know, if Belichick has to miss
– I would imagine Nash for a lot of reasons, but mainly because he was here that day – that Hernandez came back to the facility and the helicopters were all over the place.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the specific nature, and I know the defense requested that the list get pared down. They couldn't possibly call 305, and the defense said, we wouldn't necessarily all this.
Right.
That's
going to, yeah.
It could be a football story.
More to come there.
And at the onslaught of the playoffs, right, as you start to either you're in your bye week, and we should also mention that
Bill will be like, I'm not going.
You can't make me. Bill, we can actually.
We're on to San Diego.
And Josh McDaniels, according to footballscoop.com, is a potential candidate for the Florida Gators.
Right.
So the Patriots could lose a third straight offensive coordinator here to, or not straight, I guess, but to a college coaching gig. Well, they lost Charlie Weiss and Bill O'Brien to coaching gigs and Super Bowl runs.
And Josh O'Brien and Josh McDaniels, and he left too. You mean?
But to college. The difference, I'm saying, is if he interviews and takes the job now, he'll be pulling what O'Brien and Weiss did, having dual, you know, it worked for Weiss, they won the Super Bowl, he left. It didn't work for Bill O'Brien, they went to the Super Bowl and lost.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah, I see what you, I smell what you're cooking.
Plus, Josh has no experience in college other than that year plus
Saban. He did go.
He did. And
John Carroll.
I still say somebody needs to do a feature on that John Carroll thing, because that was in some of the stories, and I forget all of them. There's even more than I knew that were involved in that era of John Carroll football, because everybody talks about McDaniels, Casario, London Fletcher, Telesco, or whatever, the guy in San Diego. But there's like a couple other names that are in the NFL now that were all – what was the – it's almost like Cleveland 95. I want to see a John Carroll 95 or whatever year it was.
All right, let's get to the phones. John in North Carolina. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Not too bad.
I'm just a hater freaking out today, but
what are you hating?
I don't know. I think the reason why some people are upset, the reason why I'm upset, and not terribly upset, but the reason why I'm upset is because when they lost to the Ravens with Flacco, and the season enders in the last couple years, right? Flacco wasn't touched the whole game. They lost to Manning the following year. Manning wasn't touched the whole game, and now you see, you guys. Using your description, one of you guys, Andy, said it was the longest play he's ever seen.
Yep.
I mean, so that's my problem, is there's a thread there.
Yep. Legit concern. The pass rush now, the Jones return is the unknown, how much of a factor he can be.
And Salinga. I mean, just...
Jones' return is the unknown.
He's not going to give you any pass
rush. No, but he gives you a little bit more depth, so a guy like Easley maybe can move around a little bit more.
What is Easley doing?
Non-factor. He played like 10 plays.
I agree with Christian. It's not fair to Easley to criticize him, I think. It's fair to the team. You drafted this guy in the first round, so I'm criticizing you. You drafted a defensive pass-rushing impact player. I don't want to criticize Easley because he's coming off an ACL and he's a rookie. I don't think it's fair to expect him to be some great game-changing pass rusher. But I think it's fair to question the Patriots for taking a guy in the first round to change defense.
Yeah, and I understand John's point, too, because that has been a commonality with some of these big losses, and then you saw that again in – not to make too much out of a regular season game, but I don't think it's hard to envision seeing that again in a playoff
game. Yeah, they don't have the guy that you have to game plan for in the front. The
you know,
guy
they
that,
had
the disruptor.
They had success, I thought, in the Denver game, not necessarily getting to Manning, but of making Manning throw the ball before he wanted to, especially on important plays in that game.
Right.
They had a lot of fourth down failures in that game that Manning got the ball very quickly and threw it because he knew that pressure was coming. Rodgers didn't have that problem. I think John brings up a good point.
But the thing about Manning is you don't have to worry about him running. And that changed the way they attacked Rodgers.
I felt like they didn't attack Rodgers at all.
Well, that's what I mean.
They had their tail between their legs. Yeah. We're not going to rush. We can't rush.
Right or wrong, that was obvious. They were so worried about him, you know, getting
that's
outside.
That's part of the out-coaching.
Yeah, that's foolish because Rodgers is a mobile guy. Chandler Jones still does, doesn't he?
It's either a guy that hasn't played in five games.
Andy's telling me Ninkovich
on the street.
No, it's Ninkovich. Ninkovich has 6 or 6.5. He's going to have his same year.
Akeem Ayers.
Yes.
Oh, Akeem Ayers has like 3.
He has 3.
He's going to have his same, you know, 8, 8.5 sacks that he has every year, and he's fine. He's a secondary rusher, but he's the only guy you have right now, and that's why it's a problem. And by the way, I'm sick of the whole controlled pass rush thing. We're going to use controlled rush. That makes no sense. That's an oxymoron.
Well, to be
in a rush, you're not in control. And to rush, you're not in control.
You're pushing.
To rush,
I saw nothing get pushed. I saw absolutely nothing get pushed.
Whether you're doing it right is another issue. But there is such a thing.
Controlled rush is brothering law.
There's a difference between keeping a guy in a spot and getting him off his spot. In a controlled rush, you try to keep him in the pocket. But they didn't do that either.
No, I'm not saying they did.
Okay. I'm just saying that that's what it is. Whether they did it or not is you know, another issue.
But rushing with discipline is not the same as, you know, we're not really trying to get there.
No, we're just trying
to keep them in the pocket. Like, I think a lot of people think that when you play a really mobile guy, you just got to keep them in the pocket. Don't let them keep them on the spot. No, you try to collapse the pocket. You got to get there.
Yeah.
But you got to do it. You can't just have like 3 guys overloading one area. That way, if he slips around, now all of a sudden he's out the back door for 20 yards.
Right.
No, you have to get there. You have to win your one-on-one battle.
It's another example
of they can't do it if you don't scheme it.
We're going to have controlled kick coverage. You know, we don't want anybody to run outside their lane, so we're going to run down slower and make sure we're in our lanes, and then you're giving up 45-yard returns every time. Well, what do you want? We're in controlled kick coverage. Well, it sucks. Whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, whatever the plan is, it sucks.
Let's go to Brian in Brighton.
Channel my inner Maserati there. It sucks.
Hey, Brian.
One thing I want to just throw in real quick before I go on my tangent. I find it funny. No one really criticizes Brady for taking that sack at the end of the game.
It seemed like he was a little too relaxed on that play, where he didn't hear the footsteps. Yeah,
he should. It was a huge rush. He got sacked. But I mean, hey, a lot of times we'll look at a rookie quarterback and you'll be like, "Hey, you got to get rid of that. You can't take that sack."
I agree with you, Mark.
Because you were probably in fourth down territory.
Yeah, fourth and 9. They probably would have gone for it. And Mark Bertrand brought that up in the post-game show, Brian, and he said the same thing. It's a sack that Rodgers wouldn't have taken. Rodgers takes a lot of sacks because he's always trying to extend plays. He doesn't think he would have taken that particular one.
And Brian's right. If Jimmy Garoppolo takes that, you're ripping him for being a young quarterback. You can't do that.
Alex Smith, I watched the Sunday night game. Alex Smith took a couple of those that the Broncos just started getting after him in the fourth quarter. It was ridiculous. And some of those, I think Brady, he wouldn't have run around and avoided them, but he would have gotten rid of the ball.
Yeah. So I'm sure you got like a huge queue of calls. So I just wanted, I sent something in the post game. I don't think it got brought up. What I want to know is, I need your expertise on this. That call, when they called the penalty for 12 men on the field, before the ball was snapped.
Yes, you can't have 12 men on the field.
Right.
Yeah, but the ball hadn't been snapped.
It doesn't matter. The rule is now that if the snap is imminent or whatever, you get called for it. Now, I don't know what imminent means.
Now, they obviously made a mistake and picked up the flag because they didn't have 12 guys in the field. But it wasn't a guy running off the field that didn't make it off one time. If you have 12 guys break the huddle.
12 men lined up.
Yes, that's a penalty.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But they obviously, Brian, they obviously miscounted because they only had 11.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't realize that they didn't call a penalty on that. They didn't. They picked that penalty up, and they realized they made a mistake.
No, we realized because it was a first down. It was a big call.
Yeah, it was 3rd and 2, and then they just got it on the next play.
And they ended up scoring anyway, right?
Well, they got the first down on the play, but not on the penalty. A lot of people have complained. Matter of fact, you always tell me name names. I got a chance to listen to the Belichick interview yesterday, which I almost never do on Mondays because I'm usually out with the kids. I don't know if the timing was different because they were on the West Coast, but the first question that Jerry Thornton asked was about that too many men on the field penalty. First question.
Right. Well, he wanted to open the window for Bill to criticize the refs.
And the only other question that he asked was a push-off on Revis. Those are the two questions. That's what you're getting. That's what you're getting. Good hire there, EEI.
Thank you, guys.
Instead of hiring Andy, they hire that.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Let's go to Dan and Arizona.
You get the guy at your local bar who was saying, why do they all call the penalties all on the Patriots?
But see, I like that penalties. Because you already have the two, you know, supposed experts, and then you have the guy at the bar. That's not bad. That's what he's supposed to be.
First of all, you already have two guys at the bar in there. They're just polished guys at the bar.
That's what you criticize EEI for, but I think having the third guy as that guy.
I just think it's ridiculous to come out and you're doing an interview with the head coach and the first thing out of your mouth is the too many men in the field penalty that, oh, by the way, they admitted they didn't need to, they waved off the flag. It was a complete non-factor in the game.
Well, the other two were probably afraid to ask a question. All right. Let's go to Dan in Arizona. Hey, Dan.
How y'all doing?
Good.
I just want to make this simple. As a diehard Patriot fan out here in AZ, and a message to all Patriot fans, five letters, R-E-L-A-X.
There you go. Okay.
It's okay. Yeah. It's all right. We went through a mental buzzsaw going against the Packers. Belichick was a bit too excited that Gray was back. He didn't know how to run the run game. He messed up by not putting in Gray. Yeah. On top of that, my dude Brady. Brady messed up, got too excited on the Gronk pass. It was all a mental chess match that we lost, and it's all right. It's okay. Chandler's going to be back. I believe that. We got a Logan Ryan got schooled. He got owned all day long. And I was very upset, but then I understood that that's going to be a change, too. Revis, mental error. He's the best. It's going to be all right. So, Patriots Nation, next phone call and next email, it's going to be all right, y'all.
Well done.
Love it, Dan. Thank you. Dan, the voice of reason from Arizona, maybe Glendale? Don't make
fun of Fred anymore. You just had the back-to-back callers virtually with the exact thing that Fred was talking about.
But I don't think he was happy with it.
Everything is going to be all right.
He's not happy.
But I kind of agree with him.
But he admits.
I think he did what Fred tried to do, and he didn't confuse me like Fred did.
But he admits. Revis got, you know, bad play by Revis. Ryan got owned.
I didn't really understand how he thinks that's going to improve unless...
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, everything you can say everything is going to be all right, and you might be right, but you might not.
See, I think everything's going to be all right.
In terms of what?
Going to the Super Bowl.
I do, too, because I think they're the best team in the AFC. Right. I don't think they're the best team. I think Green Bay is better than them.
But that's
and
irrelevant.
I think there might be other... I don't think Green Bay's even going to the Super
but
Bowl.
But really? Getting to the Super Bowl is an accomplishment.
If they have home field throughout?
I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl.
Who's
going to
beat them?
Seattle will beat them.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. That'll be interesting.
But
I think that's a good matchup. I can't wait to see that if it happens.
If the Patriots lose in the Super Bowl, that's one thing. If they don't get there, now I'm saying I was wrong because I think they are the lead Super Bowl contender in the AFC.
I know what your
AFC.
Point is, too. But I just think to just sit there and say everything is going to be okay, maybe it will.
It will be unless they lose this week.
You know, maybe Denver is saying... You know, we had some issues in our offensive line that we overlooked. We made some changes. In the last couple of weeks, we've been back to our regular offense.
Yeah, but the problem for them is they got to go to Foxborough right now.
No, I know, but maybe they feel like they're more equipped this time.
They're not.
Okay. Again, I can just say that, and maybe I'm right.
I just don't think Peyton Manning is going to come into Foxborough in the winter and win.
He's not even going to get here.
Well, he may get here. I don't dismiss him like that. But until Denver gets back to where they're going to play at home, I think they're fighting an uphill battle. I think the Patriots are still ahead in that race.
Okay. Let's go to Dion in Louisiana. Dion Branch?
No, Dion Strength, fella. What's going on?
Okay.
What's up?
You know, Dion from Louisiana. Look, I thought it was Dion Branch.
Who's not from Louisiana?
Look. Yeah, Louisiana. Shooting Louisiana, BizX, small city. Look, I listen to you guys every single Tuesday and I think you guys bring a dose of reality to us fanatics, so to speak. I got two comments to make. One comment, Logan Ryan stinks. He stunk all year. Marcus Cannon stinks. He stunk all year long. I have no idea why those guys haven't been. So why didn't Erickson come in for Logan Ryan and take that spot? Why was that, you guys?
I mean, Arrington may have been a little dinged up. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and he did come in.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of the people that were there said that he limped off at one point. So I think he was dealing with something heading into the game. That might be the biggest reason, because Arrington has taken the bulk of those reps the last couple of weeks. Every week, but Arrington lately has been the guy, the third corner. And
as soon
I had one minor theory that I don't know if this was true. Andy and I were batting this around in the on the post game. Devontae Adams is more of a traditional outside receiver. He's a bigger guy, and okay. Arrington struggles in that. I think Arrington is best in the slot. And I wonder if maybe they thought that that Ryan would have been a better alternative on a guy like that. Now, obviously, they were wrong, and I agree with you, Dion. I haven't seen anything from Logan Ryan this season. And Arrington has played very well, so that would have been my matchup would have been Arrington.
Yeah, as soon as I seen Logan Ryan in the game, I said, "What is? We got a long day coming." I see that right now, and they just picked on him. The entire game, the drop that the guy missed headed to the end zone, that was Logan Ryan.
Yes, it was.
He just did him a favor and flat out missed the play. But that would have been on Logan Ryan once again. And Mark, my second statement was Marcus Cahiston.
Yeah, well, he was out there because Fleming was hurt, and they were using right. him as that in the blocking.
Yeah, but why does – I mean, he yeah. is just – he's done.
Yeah.
He was a starter to open the year. He can't play guard. He can't be your extra tackle.
They obviously think more of him than we do. Can we agree with that?
They're wrong.
Thanks, Dion.
I have one question for you, Paul, before you take a big bite of your sub. I know you're really just itching to get to that.
I don't blame him.
Using your little theory on Devontae Adams, why isn't...
By no means am I have this been like well thought out or anything, so you could blow this
but
right
no,
out
No,
right
if
now.
Your theory is right, then because we have said maybe Dennard they don't like in the slot against slot receivers... Why isn't he a quicker, more reliable option to turn to?
Yeah, and that's what they did turn to. That's what they did turn to.
But it took forever, it felt like.
Right, and I would say that I don't know what the whole Dennard situation is, but I think they've ruined him for this year.
Ruined?
For this year.
That's a hot sports take right
there. For this year.
Patriots ruined Dennard, more at 11.
You know, it's like, you know, Aaron Dobson goes out there and for the first time in 2 months, and then you run him down the field. Hey, go out and catch me a bomb at Lambeau Field. And the poor kid pulls his hamstring. And I'm not excusing him for getting hurt.
Did you see the first play was out there? Brady had to tell him which side to line up on. He went to the wrong side. I hit
Fred.
I was in the
press
box. I felt like Bill Polian. I hit the table.
Fred.
I was so mad. The ball hadn't even
Why is he
snapped.
Out there?
Right. The ball hadn't even snapped yet.
You do nothing with the kid for 2 months, and then you put him out there in the biggest regular season game of the year. Why is he out there?
I don't know. I don't know.
But that's what Bill does.
Exactly. And that's what Bill gets criticized for from time to time.
And Tim's
not in Boston,
active.
But from time to
it's
time.
It's not like, oh, we're going to make Tim's inactive. But they were both active. I don't understand.
You know, to me, it's a
I just don't. Andy, I was so mad when he
Andy, it's an extension of your Bolden point.
No, I know.
You know, what are we doing? Brandon Bolden, Fred thinks, hasn't had a carry since Minnesota. But we got to put him out there. Well, the Bolden thing worked. The Dobson thing didn't. Doesn't make either one of the moves right.
But the only difference is Bolden, I thought, had really kind of been finalized as he is what he
yes,
is, special
I
teamer.
Agree.
Dobson, you're still holding out hope.
So what would have happened? What would your reaction have been if Bolden got that carry in the first quarter and fumbled on it?
I would have yelled.
You'd sit there and say, well, what do you expect? The kid hasn't had the ball in his hands in how long?
But I don't excuse.
I don't excuse it.
Aaron Dobson, you can't just pull a hamstring because they told
oh,
you to
I don't
run
excuse
down the
it,
field.
But what are you expecting
you're
to get out of
You're a professional athlete
guy.
Who warmed up just like everybody else.
Right. Yeah, you don't mistake the injury.
Seems like
I'm saying,
you're making
what
an
you,
excuse for him.
No, I think he's going to get cut. I think Salinga's going to take his roster spot. So I'm not making any excuses for him.
That would be phenomenal.
That was his last chance.
A year
hold
after
on,
they
hold on.
Redo the receiver
let me,
position.
Let
they're
me,
all gone.
Let me rephrase that. I think they're going to put him on, quote, IR, and they're going to put give
oh,
him Salinga's
so you think
spot.
That he just
cut,
grabbed
cut.
His hammy because...
Well, no. I think he pulled his... I think oh. he hurt his hamstring.
I thought he was just playing a part.
But I think he's going to... Well, maybe. I don't know. I thought about that, too, but I'm not going to take it that far.
All
but
right.
I think
that
he's
going to
end up taking that roster spot.
All right, let's take a break. We come back. We're going to take another phone call and a lot of emails. I know everyone wants to get their word in. We're going to try to do as much as we can right after this.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium, So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster bisque?
I have not.
You don't know from soup, then, if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
is
soup.
Is it a soup? Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
You have a good lobster bisque, it just...
Because it's a stew, a soup, or is
no
it a stew?
No soup for you. It's like sex for your
is
throat.
Is a chowder a soup? Eric already has sex for his throat.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Eric's out there with the team, covering it for Patriots.com, I hope. So, hopefully he'll be giving us what's happening out there at the hotel and at practice. And
by the way, we need to tell Fred about how bad our hit was pregame. That was historically awful.
I told him that he and Jackie need to shut the F up.
Or
so
he could just move away from where everyone's sitting.
Well, whatever.
It was.
You ruined our interview.
The sound was terrible, and the content was just historically
bad. Well,
but
the content is always bad. This made it worse that you're trying to listen closely for bad content.
Right.
Because you two were yapping. You and Jackie are like little schoolgirls in the background.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Fred, what are we talking about?
Fred tweets more.
I couldn't exactly hear you specifically, but all I could hear was you.
Cackling hen.
I just like can't read.
Fred, yeah, you generally basically tweet more pertinent pregame information than we get in that hit.
Wow. Well, maybe we have to change things up.
Yeah, I think you should just start
doing
it.
Well, fans have been calling for it
forever. Then I have to pay attention.
I butchered that. Someone do it
before the game. I'm getting my mind ready for the.
Shouldn't you be paying attention? But isn't that background information for what you're about to blog?
But I'm reading other people's tweets and things like that.
Right.
You know.
Okay. You have eyes. You can look around stadium, everything.
But you know, Eric looks at like how the kicker's doing and all that. I could care less.
No. He doesn't look at anything because he very rarely has an answer when we ask him about something specific.
All right, let's take another phone call, and I want to dive into some emails. Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to give a shout-out to PFW Elite, the best Patriots forum out there. You know, as much as I hate seeing the Patriots lose, you know, I ain't sweating this one bit. You know, the question was asked in the post-game show and how fans are feeling about this. And, you know, I feel real good about it. I feel, honestly, like we lost this game because we couldn't get out there fast. We couldn't move the chains. And, you know, the bright spot there, it could have been a quick 14-0 deficit. It was a 6-0 deficit in years past. You know, this could have been a foregone conclusion of losing. But, you know, we hung in there, and we just didn't come out. I feel like we didn't show all of our cards here. And I feel like more than anything, we're posturing and getting ready for this big stretch of AFC games. We got 4 AFC games coming up, 3 of which are in the division. You know, to me, it's time to keep this eye on getting into the playoffs, getting this division, getting home field. And as they say, you know, we're on to San Diego. And speaking of which, Pat Station West Coast is coming out big. We're going to set some records this weekend as far as the turnout, attendance, energy. We're going to paint that town red, white, and blue this weekend. Cannot wait. West Coast Fan Nation, get on Patriots tailgate. Can't wait to see you guys there. And I'll talk to you Thursday. Over and out.
All right, Chester. Yep. Big party at Players in San Diego Saturday night.
You'll be there?
I'll be there. Talk to Scott Zolak. He'll be there. Sam Cunningham will be there.
Bam!
Some other guests, so that should be a good one. Excited about that.
Should be a good crowd, too. They don't mess around out there.
Amanda's part of the Houston Patriots fan, or she's a Houston Patriots fan. I don't know if she's part of a group or not. But she says, while the margin of error for keeping the number one seed has slimmed for the Patriots, I feel like the Patriots walked away from the loss on Sunday with something potentially invaluable. Experience against an opponent can be a difference maker. Ask the 2007 Giants helmet catches aside. So is learning your own weaknesses against an opponent, and no starters were lost in the acquisition of this knowledge. The loss keeps the team hungry and prevents overconfidence and gives them plenty of time to evaluate the coaching decisions and coverage adjustments if the season ends where we all hope and believe it will. Patriots will roll into San Diego with blood on their minds. Barry Insiong and the San Diego group will make the place feel like Foxborough this Sunday. As always, love listening to you guys.
So thank you.
There's the bright side.
So this back-to-back.
Right. Michael writes in.
Good thing.
He says on the
experience gained will be beneficial down the road. And one part of this that I can't possibly sign off on is the holding things back part. What did they hold back? LeGarrette Blount off tackle?
That's ridiculous. I've heard that too. That, you know, they're holding back things in case they meet them again. That's no. I'm not buying that at all.
Maybe they held back the pass rush. Like they held it
back.
Well,
they did do that, but
here's the thing. They may go about it entirely differently the next time. But it's not because they thought this way was
right.
was the best way or the wrong way. They didn't go into this one saying, this isn't really the right way to go about it, but we're going to just try it.
Both teams are going to assume that, okay, we need to do
there'll be adjustments
made,
right,
yes. Right, both teams.
Yes, of course, Fred.
Mike from London, Ontario, on the subject of Brady swearing, it's hard to fault him. I reacted exactly the same way. however, pauses and all, he said. However, it is worth noting that CBS aired that clip twice, once live and then replayed it a few minutes later, and they knew what he said. I don't particularly care either way, but if you feel like someone needs to be at fault, CBS definitely deserves a share. And P.S., Andy is awesome.
And I have
seen. It's a good
seen,
email up to then.
I've seen it, and I would run it over and over again.
No, but I have seen clips, and I don't know which network it was. I've seen them blur out mouths.
Blur out mouth. Why not do that? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought
well, you can't do it live. No, but the replay, if you were
going to
redo it.
I thought if his face was going forward, they probably would do that.
Really?
I think it was because it was to the his face. It was kind of his profile. But again, if it was if I was CBS, that's the kind of drama. I can't create that. That's the kind of drama I can't. I got to take advantage of that. I would replay that as part of my highlight package.
And Tom Curran used it for his opening skit on Quickslants last night, I happened to see.
You watched Quickslants?
Well, it was actually, I was kind of watching
Patriots. Speaking of good losses,
Patriots,
what did he
Monday
have to
night.
Say?
Well, I clicked off after the opening skit. But the opening skit made me laugh. He actually made, because that's what he did. He went to get like the Keurig, and it was out of, and he just yelled, and they bleep it out. And then he goes into the newsroom, and he brings out a Christmas tree, and goes, "Geez, it's Christmas season. Don't put the tree out yet." And he just screams. And Kay Adams looked good. She had her hair up in a ponytail. She had those school teacher glasses on. She looked pretty good.
You want us to leave you alone for a little while?
If my wife hadn't been there.
Wow. Brandon in Maine says, longtime fan Plunkett, Fataha, Rod Russ, thank God for Tom and Bill and the Crafts. I thought Bill was happy with his team's performance. Not perfect, but learned something. Also, Andy, Bill hung around the field because he was very impressed with the Packers. I think he thinks a lot of his team, but wanted to make sure the Packers know he respects them.
So he doesn't respect anybody else.
Bill has not done that very often.
Exactly.
Games come down to a few plays, and the mistake on Jordy Nelson was the game. Bill knows the Pats are close to being a championship team. Patriots will run the table, I hope. I believe this year's team could win in Denver. As long as Gronk stays healthy, love the show, makes me laugh a lot. That's Brandon in Maine.
So. What are we watching?
Soap operas.
Not the soap operas I used to know.
Well, no. But people are in the radio aren't watching it, so don't worry about it.
It was broke back soap operas.
Michael in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Oh, by the way, so does that mean he doesn't respect anybody else he's ever played? Like, I thought it was abnormally long and
yeah,
different.
Yeah, this went above and beyond, yeah.
And, you know, like, when he lost to the Giants, he left early. Yeah. Never mind, hang around, he left early.
And we happen to know that he loves Coughlin.
Right, so I just... Something was just, it caught me as weird, the way it played out.
Hey, PFW crew and Eric, when the Patriots drafted Vereen, I was really looking forward to seeing what he could do. But after watching him fail in so many games, I'm starting to wonder if he will ever become a decent running back in the NFL.
Nope.
Drop balls and hardly any production between the tackles. I just don't see the Patriots extending his contract. Don't get me started on Dropson. Felt we could have won the Green Bay game with better execution and less penalties. For Big Head, Hans Christian Andersen is from Denmark, not Sweden. So is Lego.
You know what? I thought that was right. I gotta have more confidence. I'm a little like Eric there. I knew that one, and my bad.
Yes, I don't want to speak for Paul, but I know Fred and I discussed this upstairs. We have totally cut ties with Shane Vereen. We're done with him. It was brought to my attention that apparently in the post game I said he pisses me off. He does. I think he's better or should be better than what he is. He's just not very good.
I thought he was going to be an upgrade over Danny Woodhead. He has not been.
Tremendous downgrade.
Right.
And
Falk's better. Vereen's better.
Danny Woodhead's better.
I mean, Woodhead's better.
He hasn't been anywhere near as productive as I believe he should be, and the consistency is just missing.
And he's finally healthy, so we can't even say, maybe he's got something.
And I know that he was one of the guys Fred said was limping. But
no, I cut ties already.
He's been healthy.
I don't care whether
he's healthy.
He's
been healthy
week.
Enough. Let's put it that
way. The troll.
And so James White.
Yeah.
Should he be active?
No.
No.
The troll.
I agree with Fred on
yeah.
that.
Yeah. No.
I haven't seen anything from him.
The troll in Louisville, Kentucky. Other than a drop pass, I thought the Packers couldn't have played any better. And the Patriots played well, but could have made a few more plays.
I think that's insane.
It was exposed that we need another nickelback because Ryan, Arrington, and Dennard aren't consistent. We did get a pass rush, 3 sacks, and at times I thought Rodgers was on the run. We weren't perfect in containing his scrambling. However,
he did have that one 17-yarder. Other than that, he didn't have much. I think he only finished with like 20-something.
Conclusion. Overall, we lost in a brutal situation,
Rogers.
But the Patriots definitely had a chance, and I think all of us can conclude that the Packers don't scare us if we meet them in February.
Nope,
I
agree.
If we get them on a neutral site with 2 weeks to get ready, I feel pretty good about our chances. However, we may not get there if we don't beat the Chargers. So let's do what Belichick says and move on to San Diego.
Yeah, I don't fear teams because I don't think the league is good. I think the Patriots have been as good or better than any team I've seen so far. So I don't have any fear of a specific team. I agree with that. The flip side of that is I don't think any teams really should be out there fearing the Patriots. Like, I don't think Green Bay looks at the Patriots and says, we were lucky to get by that one. I hope we don't see that team again. I think that they would have a lot of confidence playing against the Patriots in a rematch. And I think it's really silly to suggest that Green Bay had one mistake in that game, a drop pass by Davante Adams. And that was it. They had opportunities to make other plays that they didn't make. They lost their cornerback. They were completely shutting the Patriots down. And Shields went out of the game in the middle of the second quarter. And that was when the Patriots started moving the ball. When they got a chance to take advantage of his replacement. Maybe that guy is back in the second game. Who knows? Both sides had left plays. How did you put it, Andy? Left points on the field. That both sides probably felt they left plays out there that could have been made. To suggest that one team played really well like Matt Chatham did and the other team played really bad, I don't think that's an accurate reflection of the game. I thought that was a pretty well-played game.
Paul on a warpath today, calling people and places and
stations. Well, I just think this is why I didn't poo-poo Fred on his initial monologue, even though Andy and I didn't understand it. I do think there's an element of people out there that are talking themselves into how good this loss was, because the other team played out of their minds and we played crappy. I don't think either one of those statements is accurate. I think the Patriots played a good game on Sunday. They didn't turn the ball over. They didn't commit a lot of penalties. They didn't do a lot of things that...
Even the ones that were called, they didn't really commit.
Another one where I don't really understand what he's talking about.
No,
they only had four penalties.
I thought the Browner call was a terrible call.
Yeah, that was.
Hands, you know.
But it's what they call.
That's a problem with the rule.
Anytime you touch it,
this is why Andy and I have been talking about this particular rule all year.
I mean, Dennard was pushed off.
Yes,
I thought that was a penalty.
Agreed.
I did not think that.
And going in, Hercules crew had called more offensive pass interferences than any other crew.
Well, I thought the illegal contact on Julian Edelman that extended the Patriots' second to last drive, the last touchdown drive, could have been what you just said.
Yeah.
A push off. I just thought he ran right over Tremont Williams.
I do think it's funny that last emailer said, you know, the only thing we need is a nickelback. It was like a week ago we were saying, this is the deepest secondary the Patriots
have ever had.
Yeah.
Listen.
And that's all you need?
See, you can't do that because, again, it's the NFL. Passes are completed, and on every pass, there's a defender. So, you know, it's just completely, you know, unrealistic to think that we're going to shut down Aaron Rodgers.
But somebody's
going to get burned on every.
He doesn't necessarily need to drop back every time and say, "Where's Logan Ryan?" Because that's where I'm throwing.
No, I know,
because that's what he was doing for a while, and smartly so. It was a little bit like when Joe Flacco did it to Devin McCourty in Baltimore a few years ago.
And that's where, you know, a smart defensive coordinator tried to hide those weaknesses. Every team has them. Every team has them. Not just the Patriots.
Right. And why'd you say defensive coordinator now?
I think that, you know, like when you have a weakness in Logan Ryan, you got to figure how to cover that up.
If it's his decision,
right? I don't know. Dan of Virginia, I'm not sure what's making me more uneasy: the loss itself or the loss of the cushion over Denver. Did the Packers D perform better than you expected, or did the Patriots O underperform?
Under.
We talked about that. While I put this loss as much on the execution by the players,
although their pressure was good. They had good, consistent pressure, I thought. They only sacked him on that last play, but I felt like he was having to step up. There were guys kind of...
I thought this was one of those games that Brady looked like he was affected by pressure.
Yeah. And Solder, I thought,
Solder really had a bad day. What did you say? Greg Bedard said Dan Connolly had a bad day.
They said Dan Connolly had a bad day.
Yeah, tune
in to Felger and Maz today, and you'll find out.
While I put this loss as much on the execution by the players in all three phases,
worth the money.
Was the inclusion of Bolden an attempt to throw off the opposition, but all they do is outsmart themselves, like the deep throw to Slater on the first play of last season's championship game. As Brady said, they put a lot in for the Packers. These instances just seem to indicate that the coaches don't think they can beat the opposing teams, and as Bill's beloved Sun Tzu would point out, that means you've already lost. Would they have been better off just sticking to what they do? Where on God's green earth is Jonas Gray? Has he slipped into the Bermuda Triangle, or as it's known in Foxborough, the Boyce Dobson Zone?
No, he's enjoying a night out at the Clippers with Bieber.
Yeah, everyone's emailing in about that. They're worried about the Justin Bieber curse.
But for a guy like your boy Jonas Gray,
I feel
like that's a little. Ever since they feel like Bieber blew up the Steelers because he was.
There's a whole list, and they're on Patriots.com.
Mike Tomlin blew up the Steelers, but anyway.
All right, let's got a couple more phone calls.
I think he's an awful coach. I really do.
I think he's a pretty bad coach.
I hear people say that he's one of the best coaches in the league. Why? Because he has a Super Bowl ring?
I don't know why. Do you want an answer?
Oh, okay.
Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Paul. Brady. How everybody doing?
What's up, Big E?
Good. I'm all right. I'm mad because, like I told y'all on that pregame social, got me a room, gonna see the game. I'm in Georgia. I forgot they're gonna show them compound Falcons.
Oh.
So I ended up watching the Falcons, but Brent, Paul, thanks for that play on that play-by-play and that live chat. I get to watch that on my phone.
That's me. That's Fred. That's Fred.
Yeah, Fred. Well, anyway, y'all kept me up to date. And like
sort
I
of.
Said before, man, like I said before, Ryan, Arrington, and I know we got them. We can't get rid of them. Those weaknesses, man. And those weaknesses.
Yeah, but somebody has to play. Who do you want?
Somebody got to play.
Who do you want? Do you want Dennard, Arrington, or Ryan? Pick one.
I'd rather take Dennard.
Me too.
I'd rather take Dennard. You know
what? And I have no problem with those guys playing.
And Butler, I think Butler got a little bit more speed and savvy than Ryan does.
Yeah, I don't really care for Butler.
You know
I just don't think Butler's ready. I think Butler's going to be a good player.
Yeah, but see, that Adams, like I said, that's that thing everybody keeps talking about. You say you can't understand why we want other receivers in the game because, just like we did, when we shut down Cobbs and the other receivers for a little bit, well, Roger had no problem going to other receivers he was comfortable with. And they were like fourth, fifth guys on the depth chart. But they made plays.
Cobb had seven catches for 85 yards. They didn't exactly shut him down.
Yeah, it's because they had a defensive end on him.
And Nelson caught a 45-yard touchdown. So even though he didn't have a lot of receptions, he made the biggest play in the game.
He made one play. Yeah, he made a decent play in the game. That one play. But still, Rodgers did have confidence going to other receivers. I mean, other receivers are making plays. And besides, Brady's just looking at Gronk, Edelman, and what's it called? You know what I mean?
LaFell.
Right in
so they had three guys that caught five or more passes. The Packers had two. More than two.
But they did have eight guys catch.
Yeah, but they distributed. Look, I get what Elders is saying, and I agree. I mean, you know, Rodgers.
I don't agree with the premise. The Green Bay Packers have three receivers. The Patriots have three receivers. I don't really see the difference. No, if we're going to get down to the fourth and fifth options, I'm sorry. I don't think Quarles is that much better than Tim Wright.
I think on some teams, if you knock out their top two guys, and we didn't completely knock them out, but at least to start, I think a lot of quarterbacks wouldn't be able to succeed. But I think Rodgers is not that type of quarterback. He'll throw to whoever, and he does. And
is Brady not that kind of quarterback?
He.
So if someone takes out his top two targets, you should similarly be well-equipped to handle that.
You should be.
Because you have more than two guys that can catch the ball.
But not every quarterback in the league's like that. Most of them are not.
Okay, but you have a guy that is like that, so it's not a concern. The fact that Gronkowski, Edelman, and LaFell had 7, 7, and 5 receptions is not why you lost this
game.
No,
but I agree with what Eldridge is saying about Rodgers. He's not afraid to go to his other receivers.
That was not Eldridge's point.
That's not the point of this.
That's why people call in and say, let's get Tim Wright involved. Let's get Aaron Dobson involved. They want extra receivers like that.
I think Green Bay makes my point because I don't think Green Bay is very deep at the receiver spot. They're top heavy at the receiver spot. They have two or three guys they rely on, and that's enough. That's very similar to the Patriots. They have three guys that they rely on, and that's what they go with. Okay. You don't need seven guys.
Do they rely on them, or do other teams unable to take those guys out? I mean,
they rely on them.
Well, they. I think they don't have to rely on them.
Who?
The Packers.
Nope. Of course they do.
No, I think in this
they had three guys, Fred, that played a role in the game the other day.
No, they played a role, but I'm just saying.
I mean, the Who Man caught a 23-yard pass. James Starks caught a 28-yard pass.
No, I'm just
what's
talking,
the difference?
I'm just talking about
the other guys are Jags. They just fill in and make
a
play here or there.
I'm just talking about the Packers here. Not the
Packers
Patriots.
Have three receivers. The Patriots have three receivers. It's the same.
Well,
if you think that Jordy Nelson is better than the Patriots' best guy,
no,
then that's your opinion.
All I'm
that's
saying
fine.
Is that. Some other quarterbacks, you take out their top two guys, and they have trouble winning the game.
Right, but I don't have to worry about that with the Patriots. They have enough weapons because they have one of those quarterbacks.
No, that's fine. I'm not talking about
the Eldridge's Patriots. Point is the Patriots don't have enough receivers.
Oh, I disagree with that.
No.
Unbelievable.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, what are you saying?
Get the other one involved a little bit more.
He didn't. What I'm telling you is Rodgers did not get other guys more involved than Brady did.
It's just like
he relied on his top three guys to win the game for him.
Well, if I see Adams catching And the other
Adams is their third receiver, Eldridge. Brandon LaFellas.
He was actually less than that. Coming in, they had two targets. That was the talk, because Eddie Lacy was the third receiver. But he is their third receiver, just like Brandon LaFell is Brady's third receiver, and everybody's saying how well
it's working. Five catches, two touchdowns for Brandon LaFell. I'm sorry, that's a good third target.
What are we arguing?
That the Patriots don't have enough weapons, and I think it's absurd.
Well, no, that's, yeah, I don't
agree with
that. I
didn't say they had enough weapons, Paul.
You want Brady to throw the ball to more guys, and I don't think he needs to do that. They have enough.
Yeah, Aldridge, I think the Patriots do have enough weapons. But I agree with your point about Rodgers doesn't have to depend on just two guys. He's not afraid to go to...
And neither does Brady.
I agree with that.
So what is the point?
What the hell are you people talking about?
I agree with
you. What are we arguing about if we all agree?
Thanks, Eldridge.
Right.
I'm just praising Rodgers. I think if the Patriots had done what they did to other quarterbacks,
Paul's about to yell, I'm defending the Patriots.
No, you know what this all comes down to? The only reason why they lost is because the other team's quarterback was so superhuman that they were able to do things that no one else can do.
I think if the Patriots had done what they did to most quarterbacks in the league, they would have won. But Rodgers is that good. He's that good. He's hard. You can't shut him down. You can only hope to limit him.
I understand that. So offensively, you needed to be better?
Right.
What you're saying? So is the defense good or is the defense the same?
The defense is good. Our defense or their defense?
Because
it's a good defense.
We talked about this after the game, and I think there's equal blame to go on the offense and defense. Andy wouldn't let me have a cop-out and say that. I think the offense played badly, and I think the defense played badly at times. Not for the whole game.
Yeah.
At times.
I think both sides had chances to win the game. Certainly, if the defense had not allowed that third down conversion at the end, you'd give Brady another chance.
Or if maybe they had stopped him at any point at all during the game.
But
they're just giving him a free pass because they only scored 26 points.
But they
had the ball the whole game.
But we expected Green Bay to score.
I'm sorry. I thought the defense was better.
Right.
I thought this defense was improved.
But you expected
That's what I've seen in the past against good offenses.
You expected Green Bay to score 27 points.
Yes.
And they scored 26.
Okay, but I didn't expect Green Bay to rack up 500 yards and control the ball for 37 minutes.
All right, but
I didn't expect that. I thought the Patriots offense would be able to control the ball. It didn't.
And if the Patriots had kept the ball a little longer on offense, then that limits, Rodgers.
Well,
so
again, I think you can look at
like
it both ways.
It's like a tennis match. You can. But
one team converted 60% of their third downs. The other team only converted 40%.
But if you're looking at...
Do you want to blame that on? Do you blame the defense for not coming up with a stop? Or do you blame the offense for not converting another one? I think there's equal blame.
I don't think it's equal. I think the offense, if you have to make a judgment, the offense should have done more.
Now, why do you do that? Because you think the offense is better.
Right.
Okay, now we're all in agreement.
So who did you blame in 2011 in the Super Bowl? Lost to the Giants.
That was a tough one.
Thank you, Andy Hart.
Why? It's two separate games, two separate seasons.
I think they're very similar.
Most people, I think it was a very similar game. That's why the historical context of this game.
Which is why I think it's the perfect Super Bowl.
I think it's another
one. Had this been a Super
similar.
Bowl, we'd be having all these stupid arguments. Instead of for a week, we'd be having them for 3 months.
A lot of people said after the game, the defense once again came up small in a big spot. And I said, I'm sorry, your superhuman offense got to score more than 17 points. Superhuman offense got to score more than 21 in this game, too. But I thought the defense was better than it was then. That's why I'm not giving the defense the free pass. The defense performed just like that defense did. They let the other team completely control the game, and they were able to keep the score down to 26, kind of luckily, very similar to the AFC Championship last year in Denver. It was 26 when all was said and done.
Well, but the difference there is the Talib injury and what would have been. I still think you probably would have looked like this game. You would have been better with Talib on the field, but you would have given up a lot of yards and would have struggled because these offenses are really good.
Sometimes when you're playing a Peyton Manning or an Aaron Rodgers, your best defense is a good offense.
And as Paul said, we went out and signed two veteran corners and got Darrell Revis to be better.
I think those two guys did enough in this game to win this game.
I can't give Revis anything.
He had one bad play.
And it cost you the game.
Okay.
If Brady throws a pick six that costs you the game, you got to criticize Brady.
No.
When you play those positions, when you play those positions, that's the fine line you walk.
Yeah.
When you play those positions, you want the $16 million. Well, guess what? Take the focus that comes with the $16 million.
I'm sorry,
Fred. It's a layered argument, and I understand it. I'm not trying to say this is flat out this or that.
Multi-layer.
I'm just telling you. I thought the defense had improved to the point where it could win a game like this for the team. In other words, when the offense, the offense didn't play very well. In terms of 21 points is not enough. So the offense wasn't good enough. But I thought we were sort of past the other team controlling the ball for two-thirds of the game and just completely dictating the way the game was played stuff. And that's what I've seen in the past in big games at times. I thought this defense was much better than those defenses.
I just think
it's a little bit closer than those defenses than I thought.
I think it is better than those defenses. But when you're playing the Packers and Aaron Rodgers and you go three and out, four plays and out.
Here's my point. What did they do against Detroit last week? The same thing. But the defense didn't allow Matthew Stafford to control the ball for the whole quarter.
Because it's Matthew Stafford.
He's pretty good.
Not as good as Aaron Rodgers. Not even close.
I didn't say he was as good as Aaron Rodgers.
But that's the difference.
I'll tell you something, Fred. We better not see Aaron Rodgers again then. Because the way you're talking about him, he's never lost a game.
Yeah.
I just hope we don't see Aaron Rodgers again.
I respect Aaron. I think he's really good.
I just hope we don't see a good quarterback anywhere in the playoffs. That's all I can say.
I'm just amazed.
We do, our offense can keep the ball for a little bit. Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Just defense, free pass.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
Good.
Welcome back from the tundra.
Thank you.
So I think we should put the brakes on. A lot of people are talking about, this team is so good that it's bound to the Super Bowl. I think we have to win on Sunday. And after what I saw against the Packers, I agree with you guys. I think that I'm not really sure if – I think we've left some plays on the field, and I think the offense should actually have done a little bit better than that. But ultimately, maybe the conditions were difficult, and maybe we gave too much respect to Rodgers. I mean, it looked like we didn't rush him, or maybe we didn't have the weapons to rush him. But what do you guys think? Do you think that what do we learn from this game in order for us to win the next four games? Because I don't think we have an opportunity for mistakes if we want to have the number one seed and the home field advantage.
We learned we need to coach it better, play it better.
Well, I agree with you, Andy. I think we need to learn that.
It's funny. I'm not sure he said that yesterday, did he? Did anybody listen to the whole press conference on Sunday? I'm not sure he said coach it better. And I think he needs to coach it better. It's funny. He says that a lot when they lose, and he didn't say it when I think he needed to say it.
He was complimentary to someone else. It was nice for once.
Yeah, apparently we found the one person in the world he respects.
Listen. Belichick gives credit to every team after every game.
Not the way he did this with the post-game handshake and the McCarr and Aaron.
Absolutely. He went over the top with the Packers, but he gives credit to every team.
Right, and by doing it to every team the way he does, he makes it irrelevant.
Whatever.
It's like somebody who has never criticized a meal in their life saying you made a good meal.
Well,
you always say that, so I don't know if you really mean it.
You're saying
when I tell my wife she made a good meal, she knows I've told her she's made a lot of crappy meals.
You're assuming that he doesn't have respect for other teams, even though he says it.
I don't think he has respect for all teams, no.
Okay.
I think he always says he does.
Do you think that we change our scheme in a way that we gave way too much respect to that team?
I think sometimes we have overthought things, yes.
Did they this week?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do. But that's been
because we left the run, right? Would it, of course, in hindsight, would it have been better for us to keep on running the ball and control the clock a little bit better?
I think so, but I think that, you know, again, you can laugh at it, but I think once you fell behind 13-0 to Aaron Rodgers, they felt they had to make that up, and being the team that they are, they felt that the best way to make that up is with Tom Brady. I can't blame him for that.
I agree.
And they made it up.
Yeah, they did. And then they gave it away.
Right.
One thing that really surprised me was how good their defense stepped up in the important moments. Because I thought they didn't have a good defense. It's kind of what I've read and I've heard from you guys as well. And all of a sudden, these guys are showing up like they are playing the Super Bowl.
Right, the Packers, you mean.
Yeah, the Packers.
I thought they made a couple of individual plays that were pretty good. Like the one that stood out to me really was kind of I wouldn't say insignificant, but very early in the game. So in the grand scheme of things, not that big. The tackle on Edelman on the third and five.
Yeah, were you a little disappointed that he wasn't beyond the sticks to begin with?
No, I think that's the call.
I'll tell you who was. Our producer, Kevin Collins, was bitching and whining and crying about Edelman not getting beyond the sticks on that.
Yeah, but I think that's the little shallow crosses that they run, and then he turns it up for two or three extra yards, and they get a first down.
Yeah.
That guy stopped him dead in his tracks. You don't really see that very often with Edelman.
Their tackling was very sure, and there were very few yards after catch, except for Gronk when he's running over people.
Right. Right.
How do you think the strategy is going to be against the Chargers this week? Because again, I think this is a must win for us.
Yeah, I think you're going to see something a lot different. Rivers doesn't run.
I think it is a must win.
You know, like Rodgers. So I think you're going to see a little bit more, you know, attempt to, you know, pass rush. Chargers.
You're big on Aaron Rodgers is God in that you can't pass rush God.
I think that's what they thought. That's what they thought.
I don't think it was the same thing that you thought. I don't think they did the same thing that you were saying.
Oh my God! I saw times where there were three guys literally standing at the line, not even moving,
because they were ineffective. You think it was by design?
No, they weren't even attempting to rush.
I don't know. I saw Chris Jones working his butt off.
Sure, at times. Listen, I'm telling you, this is
he was the only guy that was getting any
than I've ever seen. It was
okay. I think it was because they were ineffective. You think it was by design?
I think they overthought it. Yeah, I do. I do.
You know, I think when you have a player like Rodgers, we have to go after a player like that, like the Giants did to us in 2007. But obviously you need to have the rushing
way the Giants did it in 2007 was with four guys. That's what
that's 14 on the field.
That's what the Patriots tried to do on Sunday. They didn't blitz Rodgers, and I agree with that. I don't think that was overthinking. I don't want to give him any free chances to get a busted coverage. But the four guys didn't provide any heat.
But I thought our coverage was great.
I thought the coverage was really good.
No, I'm being sarcastic. Oh. I thought our coverage is great. We have Browner, we have Chung, we have McCourty.
I thought the coverage was pretty good in that game. I mean,
you guys aren't listening, so you can blitz. You have a secondary. Oh. When Rex Ryan has a secondary, he blitzes.
I know, but
against anybody.
You might also say that one of the reasons why the coverage was good is because they had more people in coverage.
They had extra guys in coverage.
See, you're missing the point.
No, I'm not missing your point. I just think
assessment of the damn coverage in Green Bay. It's the belief that suddenly we can cover anybody because we got Revis and Browner and McCourty. We got all these all
thought they would take more chances.
Do you believe that?
No.
No, I believe the strength of their secondary.
But people that believe that should be calling for the blitz.
I believe the strength of their secondary is its depth. I don't think it's had this much depth in a long time.
If you believe that their coverage is as good as a lot of people pop off with, then you should be saying he needs to blitz more because we don't have a pass rush, and nobody can argue that the talent in the pass rush is all that good. So if you're going to get pass rush, you're going to scheme it. And if you think the secondary can cover like a lot of people have been telling me for weeks and months, then you should be saying blitz more. Go get him.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah.
How come you and I aren't allowed to have arguments with fictitious fans? Oh, he is.
Are you telling me people haven't been telling me that this coverage is great for
months? I'm not like you. I don't. When you say things, I don't pretend that I haven't heard them. I've heard that.
I've heard that
constantly.
Do we know when Salinga is coming back, and do we know when Chandler Jones is coming back? Maybe that would be helpful for us to actually start rushing things.
Yes, that would be helpful to have Chandler Jones.
I would imagine they're coming back after this game.
Really? You don't think there's a chance Chandler Jones plays this week?
I don't.
I don't think he's there.
But well, he is there.
Though. Oh, is he? Oh, that's right. He was on the field. What am I saying? No.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's there. The practice squad.
Right, they're all there.
Yeah, but they're there to practice. Like, you need to practice.
But even injured guys go.
No, I know. But if there was no chance he was going to play, you think he'd be there?
I don't think he's going to play.
Not this week. When I say no chance, like, if it was like the first week of that injury, then he probably wouldn't be there. But he's getting treatment. He's probably on the field practicing. That's part of his rehab at this point. You know what I'm saying? At this stage of his rehab, on-field stuff is part of it.
I think there's a chance he could be on
I don't
the
think
field.
There's a chance he'll play
Jones?
This week.
Yeah. I think they could ease him back into it.
I think there's a better chance that Salinga is activated.
Well, yeah, I have no idea.
What about the other guy that was replaced by Cannon? The
Fleming?
The Swiss cheese.
Cameron Fleming?
Yeah, Fleming, right. Is he getting better? Or is he still,
yes. Oh, he practiced on a limited basis last week.
Yeah,
the previous week had been a boot.
He could be back.
So he could be back, and they need him back. It's funny. Okay. If you want to run the ball, you got to have your extra tackle, and Cannon can't fill that void.
Except he was supposed to be a second-round pick.
Is that we are getting a lot of players that are key to the to the team back at the right time for those four games.
Well, let's pump those brakes.
I was just going to say the same thing. Let's wait till we see this injury report on Wednesday because this was a tough game.
If you get Fleming back and lose Hightower, not a trade I'm looking to make.
Right, so let's not.
No.
Someone else.
I'll get my eighth tight end back so I lose my only linebacker.
Thanks for the call, Olivier.
Can you tell me something?
Well, maybe.
Everybody. No. What is Michael Aomanawanui?
What is he?
Yes. What is he?
H-back.
Third tight end.
So he's not a blocking tight end. He's an H-back.
He's an H-back.
Because I think of H-backs as being able to catch. And I don't think of him as an H-back.
He caught a ball.
Yeah, I know.
But by the way, my pregame.
Cameron Fleming could have caught that ball.
My pregame prediction was that James Devlin would have at least two big plays with the ball in his hand. And nope.
Well, they screwed up because he barely played. How many snaps did he get? And Fleming and Cannon messed up one of those on the goal line. Yeah, here's a good idea. First and goal, it's false start.
Yeah, I thought this was a perfect game for that fullback to have a couple plays.
Four snaps.
Yeah.
So you
we're
going to
have a power rushing attack.
You had a big time.
No, you were right. No, Fred, you were right.
His
you
ratio
know who was wrong?
To big plays
Bill Belichick.
To plays. You might get that in the emails later.
Right. He should have been on the field. They should have lined up and ran the damn ball.
Freddie.
What?
Take Nick.
Let's see. Nick Baby Love. Paul's boy. Nick Baby Love's on the line. Hey, Nick.
It's my boy, too.
How you doing, gentlemen? I do want to talk about San Diego, but I just want to make a point. As old school as I am, I don't know nothing because I've been doing my research, and the writing is really articulate from Kirsch words to what Andy says and Paul says. And I'm not just trying to... say anything. I'm just stating the facts. I hope you guys can appreciate that. I think.
Well, thank you.
Are you blowing smoke up Fred's ass?
A little bit.
No. Well, the thing is, obviously, when I came forward and I'm, Paul and Andy know what I'm doing, and SJ and Fred, you're getting to know me. I'm so old school. I hate losing. There's no good losses. Are you guys with me?
Yes. Yeah. We're all in agreement.
Here's one thing I want to, I'm not into the parties. I've been there, done that. You know, it's great. I love Patriots Nation, but I'm coming from an old school perspective here. You realize Sunday, they put themselves in such a bad position, and I hate losing. I take it worse than Belichick. In fact, I'm double of the hoodie old school. If they lose Sunday, them and San Diego, both are 9-4, and San Diego has the tiebreaker.
Correct.
That's right.
So, I mean, don't Big we game. Have to run the table? Tell me if I'm right or wrong here.
Well, you also have, then the following week, San Diego plays Denver, so that's in the mix, too.
Right. Yeah. And if San Diego were to win it, I believe Denver would have the tiebreaker over San Diego, and then the Patriots, would have to worry about Denver if they had lost a game.
San Diego has a tough schedule, right? Coming up,
San Diego has an impossible.
They have us, they Denver, Kansas City.
They're at Kansas City.
At Kansas City,
home against Denver. I believe that they have another difficult game. San Francisco, I want to say. They have another difficult game.
Yeah, because they're playing the West Coast.
Can't even squeeze an Oakland in there in the last month.
No, I think they already played Oakland twice.
Yeah. But can you? I mean, I love you guys. But can you hear yourself? I don't really care about the other noise. In other words, if we don't run the table. I mean, that's why I'm just so in a rage over that loss Sunday. I just don't. I blame Tom at the line. Correct me if I'm wrong again. Doesn't he control the plays at the line? And he's just. He didn't improvise the way he normally does. He just was in a rush the whole game.
Well, maybe. I'm not in a rage, but I get it. I mean, there's no margin for error right now. They have to, win these games.
Yeah, in order to secure
this. You want
to
control your fate. Yeah. Right now they have it. Right now they can, but one loss and they lose that power.
Yeah, you do. You definitely, this was your margin for error. And
thanks,
okay,
Nick.
You can afford a loss out of conference on the road against a really good team, but it was your margin of error. Now if you lose one game, you put yourself in a situation where someone else can win and pass you for that number one seed. And depending on how things break, could be even more than that, because I know that Cincinnati is Cincinnati, and we saw that's as lucky a win as you're going to get against a terrible team. They have three losses and a tie. So if they win out, they're ahead of you too if you lose another game.
Austin, you lost to a team that is as good as you.
you know, was in the conversation. I don't
San
think
Diego's
any of
not
the last,
as good as you.
The last four. Right. You should win the last four.
Win.
You're the better team for four straight weeks. Take care of your business.
What's the spread? Anybody get an early line in this one?
I don't know.
Kevin, why don't you effort that?
Austin in Toronto says, just want to understand better why Paul keeps saying that no way Green Bay makes it from the NFC. Who exactly is his lock to knock off the Packers in January?
I don't think Green Bay is the best team in the NFC.
He thinks Seattle is.
I think Green Bay is very good. I'm not saying that they're not a good team. I'm not doing the Patriot, they stunk. They got Green Bay is a very good team. Patriots favored by four on the road against San Diego. So that tells you what a lot of people think of the Chargers. But I just feel like I don't think their defense is very good, despite how it played. I thought it played well on Sunday, but I don't think it's very good. And I feel that there are other teams that are coming on right now. And I would be much more concerned about Seattle than Green Bay.
On a different note, says Austin, I wanted to get your thoughts on the severity of Jonas Gray's punishment. Is it really that blunt? Is that much better? I think Bill takes it a bit too far with these ordeals. I really think Gray's confidence will be shattered if this continues. And as far as Sunday is concerned, personally, I think the Patriots played very vanilla on O and D for a reason. Well, there's a conspiracy theorist that they're holding back. I don't think it was vanilla. I think what they did was out of the ordinary when it came to trying to not rush Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that was
Do you think there's any chance that Jonas Gray was being disciplined on Sunday?
No, I think discipline
is
long
gone.
No,
and I think that's gone, too.
I think he's now a practice squad call-up who's part of the mix and nothing more.
By the way, the guy who replaced him is better.
Is better. Has been better for a month plus here in New England last year.
There's no reason why you still don't mix in both.
Both. They mixed in Bolden and Shane Vereen. Clearly the game plan, I think there'll be games where they mix in Gray.
Yeah,
but this game plan that they overthought was to mix in Bolden and
Vereen. Well, if they had the ball, you know, Bill said, we just didn't have
a
lot of
plays.
We didn't
have enough plays, I know. But a lot of people would say you didn't have enough plays because you didn't run the ball enough.
Well,
but
it's one of those chicken and egg things.
Right. But the other part of it where Andy was just, I think, sort of going, it's another game that if you had run the ball 30, 35 times – Gray would have probably had 6 or 7 carries,
right.
And Blount would have been. Had 10.
Right,
Blount
and
only
Blount's
got
better.
10.
Anybody that watches when he moves the pile, breaks tackles, continues runs, I just think Blount's better. I don't think really, you know, hashtag that Mark Bertrand put out in the middle of the game. Hashtag Blount is better. I mean, do you dispute that? You think Gray is better than LeGarrette Blount?
I think Gray can do a lot of things, and I
didn't ask you that. Who's better?
Overall, Blount's probably a little bit better.
Okay, thanks.
But I also think that Gray can do some stuff, too, and he deserves to be out there.
He can do stuff, too. That's fine. They're called backups. There's plenty of backups that can do stuff, too.
I think Gray's quicker to the hole than Blount. I do.
He may be. Blount dances on occasion.
I don't.
But the bottom line is, he makes it work for you and is productive.
Sure. When he gets there, he pounds it. He's a bigger guy.
He's better.
You know. But I think Gray should be out there as well.
But you can't ask
why?
Well. There's only one running back out there.
If you think the other guy is better, why do you think they both should be out there?
Well, because that's the way we've always done it.
Not with the same kind of back.
We never have just one running back. I mean, you know, even in the game when Ridley was still playing, that Vikings game, he had Bolden out there sharing some of the load. Why not?
Well, he had Bolden and Vereen yesterday.
Well, Vereen, to me, is a different type of back.
But that's what they do.
But Bolden's not. Bolden is more like Vereen in the way they use him.
In terms of a style of runner, he's more of a between the tackles runner.
Yeah.
He's more of a between the tackles runner than Vereen, but
right.
not than
not
Bolden or Gray.
Of pace back. I mean, when you have
that's how they use him.
When
Fred.
You have Vereen on the field, it could be pass or run. When you have Bolden, the chances of a pass go way down.
A pass to him,
right?
Maybe,
but
he's not. Your chances of a pass don't go way down.
No, but to him.
The bottom line is Blount is better.
And I just don't understand why we have to have this.
Not by much at this
candlelight
point in his career.
I don't
not
know why
much.
We have this
do
candlelight.
Do you watch?
Yeah, I don't
I do.
Get it.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't get the candlelight vigil for
And I
for
see
Jones
him
Gray.
Breaking tackles. I see him making runs that I've never seen.
I saw the same thing that I saw from Gray.
I have not.
When?
I don't know, 201 yards.
Right.
Okay.
110 of which came before contact.
Right.
Oh, and Blount's getting hit in the backfield on every play.
Okay,
Do you
know what 100 yards is?
If you
that's
going,
after the line of scrimmage. The line of scrimmage.
If you're going to go by the
after
same
the first point of contact.
Right. He had a hunt. You don't get yards till you get to the line of scrimmage.
Listen,
it's the way they work.
Gray,
this isn't Eric's
Gray
modified
broke,
scoring system. You don't get 7 yards because you lined up 7 yards deep.
So when you saw Gray in the goal line twice, he wasn't breaking tackles and fighting
Did
for
I
yards?
Say he couldn't? No.
I said he doesn't do it as well as.
You think,
it's a famous phrase on this show.
And how big
as
is that,
well as.
And
he
how,
doesn't do it
and,
as well
and
as.
How big is that difference right now?
I think it's pretty significant.
Really?
Because I have a proven commodity who has done it for two teams over multiple seasons. That's idiotic.
He's a proven
commodity. Blunt is done. You know? So Blunt is done. I just want you to, on the record, Blunt is done.
No,
he's retired like Randy Moss.
Don't put
he's retired. Well, you compared him to a guy who is retired and is 37 years old.
Here's what I'm saying.
That was moronic.
Here's what I'm saying. He's not that much better than Jonas Gray.
Okay, well, you're wrong.
So why would you want to have the guy who's not as good playing?
Not fresh legs, younger, faster to the hole. He doesn't punch
people. I don't
think...
He's younger.
He is younger.
Fresher legs.
He has a full three games under his belt as an NFL player.
I think the legs are roughly the same.
Yeah, listen, I think he's faster than the hole. I think the potential there is for just as many big plays from Gray as there is from Blunt.
You're out of your bleeping gourd.
I really can't see that.
Out of your bleeping gourd. If it were Ridley, I might agree with you because their styles and production were similar. But LeGarrette Blunt has maximized runs and made big plays in a short time here like no back we've seen in a long, long time until Corey Dillon. He has maximized runs. Don't roll your eyes at me and sigh.
I'm rolling my eyes.
Because you lost an argument. You know how I know you lost? Because you threw Randy Moss in there, and you throw Randy Moss in there every time you lose.
No, you're saying that based on his history.
You know what's coming?
Recent history. The history happened last year and this year.
Okay, what about
I'll tell you what's coming.
The Colts game is a recent history?
Yeah, it's one game.
He had a great
flash in the pan.
He had a great game.
And that's it.
Flash in the pan.
And that's it.
No, but that's his history.
The only reason it's a flash in the pan is because they haven't used him since.
But has Blunt ever been a flash in the pan? The entire time here, when they've given him carries, he's produced.
He's so good that Pittsburgh just let him walk.
You think it was a talent thing?
He walked off the field, Fred.
He quit.
Why?
He flat out quit.
Because
he was sulking.
Because the guy they had there was better than him. Because
they have a second-year, second-round pick who's
so
good.
It's so funny. You guys make fun of me or other fans.
No, I do.
Building these guys up to be bigger than they are. All of a sudden, Blunt is like Gale Sayers.
See, to the contrary. I don't think Blunt
is
Gale Sayers.
You're being ridiculous.
Just because I think he's better than a guy who's been on...
You think he's like the best guy since Jerome Bettis now. It's unbelievable.
But just because I think he's better than a practice squad guy doesn't mean I think he's Gale Sayers.
I don't think he's that much better.
You've said that many times, and all I keep saying is then why would you want to use him if you don't think he's as good as the guy who is getting used, who, by the way, not getting overused. He got 10 carries.
I don't think Bolden's as good as Ridley, but
so
they
we should
both
only,
of them.
She would only, he, they didn't really use Bolden.
yeah, they did.
And you proved that by saying he hasn't had a carry since Minnesota.
Do you think Gray's better than Bolden?
Yes.
Gray is,
then why
I think,
wasn't Gray in
I hate
I think,
Bolden.
I think Gray is better than
then
Bolden.
Then why wasn't Gray in there? Instead
Gray
of Bolden.
Because he's a different kind of back. They're different players. As much as you don't think they are, they're different. Bolden is closer to Vereen than he is to a power between the tackles runner.
I would agree with that, but
okay, thanks.
Listen,
I mean,
think
Bolden three carries and Gray one. I mean, that's
right.
We're splitting hairs.
There weren't a lot of plays, and I agree. If they had more time with the ball, Gray probably would have had five or six carries.
And I would actually
when
agree
Blunt
with you,
goes like this and taps his helmet, I think Gray should play.
I want it to be Gray, and I was just going to say if Blunt is getting like 22 carries of the game and Gray's getting one. Now I'm with you. Why isn't it 15-8? That's I'm totally with you. Did that actually add up?
I think I
added it up.
That's 23.
No, that's 23. Didn't you say 22?
22-1.
Oh,
23
oh,
yeah. And 15 yeah. And 8 is actually
good,
23.
Good. You're like Ryan Fitzpatrick's kid.
I missed that. What happened?
It was a parlor trick.
No, I don't even know. All I know is you got to see Ryan Fitzpatrick's son. What happened? What did he do?
He brought him up to the podium and told
a parlor trick. What is a parlor trick?
I don't know.
You don't
really
know what is this, the 1930s or something?
He was really happy with himself after he said it.
No, but he brought him up to the podium and said to the media, any two numbers between 90 and 100, he'll give it to him and he'll multiply them and get the number right. So somebody said, 93 times 97, and he got it right. But I guess there's like a way to do that quickly. When you narrow it down to that many options. So,
yeah. All right.
I am no closer to knowing what happened now than I was.
No, I feel dumber for having asked. But I just the whole Gray thing. I just don't really understand the amount of attention it's gotten.
It's amazing.
Like even Jim Nantz was participating the other day.
Still no carries for Jonas Gray here.
How many teams in the
guess
national
what? Nate Ebner hasn't come in at safety yet.
Well,
who gives a flying?
How many teams in the national telecast chart how often the backup running back gets in the game?
Right. The backup running back who's a practice squad call-up from a couple weeks ago.
It's not like this first-round pick that everybody thought was going to be great, and then he came in and had a 200-yard game, and then the next week he didn't play.
And Austin says, if Blunt's so great, why did we dump him last year?
We didn't dump him. Bill said he wanted him back, but money-wise, it just didn't work.
Well, they weren't willing to pay him. Jeffrey says...
Exactly, because they never pay running backs.
And I wouldn't pay him either.
Jeffrey says, we should be developing Gray. He's faster and more explosive.
He's not faster.
Plus, he's not more explosive. Plus, there is no way he's more explosive.
He might be faster to the hole, like Fred said.
He's anti-explosive.
He's not faster.
Plus, there's less chance of him getting busted for pot smoking.
And I don't know to assume that either. He's hanging out with Justin Bieber. He's a major pothead.
And let's see.
I love how Fred's going to look for people that, you know, are on his side or something.
Those are the only, I'm looking for more. Those are the only two emails on the subject.
Again, I just don't get why, we seem to really be preoccupied with the other guys in New England.
Right.
Like, you know, who said after the game the other day, you know, Danny Amendola, this is why they're screwed. You know, Danny Amendola played like seven plays.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, the other teams around the league don't look at their eighth option in the passing game and say, if we don't improve that, we're not going anywhere. We're having like a candlelight vigil for Jonas Gray. I mean, my God.
I am.
I know you are.
I just.
Which
listen.
Is why I have no problem with you arguing it. You have your guy. I had my guy. I wanted James Sanders in forever, whatever. Those types of people, they're middling talents who we overrate in our own minds for whatever reason.
But even Fred said that he felt like Blunt was better.
Right.
And Jonas Gray is Fred's guy. And even Fred says that he thinks Blunt is a better option. So I'm not exactly sure why people are so perplexed by the fact that he doesn't play that much. I mean, clearly it was discipline last week. I mean, Brady kind of admitted it.
Oh, everybody did.
Post-game.
Yeah,
Darrell Revis said, you know, he learned from, you know, Darrell flat out talked about it.
Yeah, he learned that you have to be at my level to be able to miss practice and still play.
And if you give up a 45-yard pass, you might want to limp.
And I don't like the fact that he got disciplined for that. To be honest with you, and we argued that.
Oh, I have no problem.
We argued that. Yeah, you like discipline because you're big into that. And
I'm big into discipline, Fred.
No,
that's now a bad thing. Discipline, bad.
You didn't let me finish as usual. Just like on TV, discipline for some and not others.
Did I call you an idiot, by the way?
I don't know.
Because somebody
don't really even pay attention.
You're an idiot. Best line ever in one of those fights or something.
Oh, at the end. At the end. Yeah, because I.
Oh, yeah.
You know what it was, Fred?
The discipline.
You know how like when you do that. Andy has to get the last word every time.
Right.
So I, you know, summed it all up very, very nicely, succinctly, and Andy has to just...
Well, now we know you're lying, because you've never done anything succinctly.
Andy just has to jump in. Yeah, yeah, you're an idiot.
Typical.
Right. Because he has to say the last word.
Why don't you just bring back Randy Moss?
No, you know what's coming, too. Oh, yeah, what do the other teams have to do at running back?
Sean writes in, I don't know why, but I was rather upset about this loss, even more so than the Kansas City loss. If we somehow make it to the Super Bowl and the Packers do as well, what's to stop them from beating us again?
Either way, what's to stop them from beating you? Nothing.
Right. What is that what the Giants said in 2007 after we beat them in the regular season?
Do you look at,
by the way, a good game.
Do you look at Kansas City? Do you look at Kansas City right now and think that, well, what's to have us beat them if we played them again in the playoffs? I think most people would be pretty confident you could beat Kansas City.
I mean, it's the exact opposite, and I've always said this. I liken it to a fight. If I know I need to fight somebody twice, do I want to get my ass kicked the first time, or do I want to win the fight? I want to win the fight the first time.
Right.
Because if I get my ass kicked, I'm going into the second one saying, this guy kicked my ass last time. I want to win. You fight to win.
I understand that it's hard to beat teams multiple times.
It's hard to beat teams one time, okay, if they're good.
But I would always rather go into the rematch as the team that had won the first one.
You just always want to be better.
But the flaw with
better.
That
Thank
is,
you, Fred.
Aside
well
from
put.
Division games where it actually isn't hard to beat teams twice in the division, it happens quite frequently. Well, but if
certainly not this division.
If you otherwise say it's hard to beat a team twice, you know why? Because they're a playoff team and you're playing them again and they're good.
Right.
That's why it was hard the first time, it's hard the second time.
And if it's a division game and I have to play that team for a third time, I want to have won both of the previous.
Exactly.
And the play they made last time, they may not make, and vice
versa.
You never know.
It's just a...
Blake in Vegas says, I was mentally prepared for this loss, and Lambeau playing a good team, great quarterback, poor officiating, only lost by 5, no big deal, we're fine. Bolden, of all people, gets carry. Seriously, why does Bill do this? Does he just hate the fact that everyone was goo-goo gaga over Jonas? Bill was probably ecstatic. Jonas was late to practice, giving him ammunition to never play him again.
And he never played again. No, I really think everything's fine with Jonas Gray and Bill Belichick. I just think he's now just a minor pawn in the game, right?
That's how I feel. I think he feels much more comfortable with a guy that he has some trust in, like experience with.
Right.
And that's what this is all about.
Phil in Mont-Tremblant. Quebec.
By the way, did you say the Chinese army guy's name correctly earlier? I needed Eric here.
Sun Tzu? I don't know.
Does anybody know how to say it?
S-U-N-T-Z-U.
I don't think that's how you say it. I don't feel like that's how
Sun Tzu?
Yeah, Sun Tzu.
Sun Tzu, Gun Tzu.
The Art of War.
John Rook is the only professional in the room. Can you weigh in?
I have no knowledge of this name.
Maybe it's Sin Shi?
Sin Shi?
No, X is
No, it's
Shi.
Sun, right?
So T-Z is, Zhu, I don't know.
What, how to spell it?
S-U-N,
yeah.
And then T-Z-U.
Sun, I thought it was Sun Tzu.
Sun Shu.
Sun Shu?
I believe so.
Okay. Anyway, would you,
Sue? Since you asked, what do you want?
Phil writes in, would like to know your thoughts on the reason of the lack of pass rush. Do you think the defense was gas tired from the extended time of possession and those extra long plays? I'm not a football mind, so maybe you can give me your opinion on the following. When you are rushing as a controlled rush within your lane, the players in defensive front four that are being double-teamed have basically no shot at getting anything done. Why not put lighter, faster bodies like Easley and Moore on the interior and let the outside guys go wild, since Easley and Moore can run out the mobile quarterback if he escapes?
They can't.
Instead of having Vince and Chris Jones on the field. Thanks, guys. Keep it up. Love the passion you generate in all of us. So I saw Easley up in there in the middle, and he was getting double-teamed and going nowhere.
Right. They do that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he also can't chase down Aaron Rodgers if he gets free.
Right.
No.
So don't have that as your plan.
And I don't know how much faster Easley is than a guy like Chris Jones, who's a little bit of an undersized interior
Plus,
rusher.
I thought Chris Jones was the only guy
He's
who had
the only
a little
guy
fight
that
in him.
I thought he got some pressure, and he made some plays.
All right. John Rooks here for the playbook. Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
How you doing?
Good, since I picked Green Bay to win.
Oh, wow.
He just pulled an Andy. He's happy to be right.
Him and Eric, arm in arm.
No. I kind of felt like that was a stumbling block. That's all.
And like how he distanced himself from Eric.
Never. He's the bud. He's the man.
You're happy also you have content for your show today.
Well, obviously.
Nitpick Tuesday. Tuesday has really been lacking for 6 or 7 weeks.
It has been, but we've managed to find nits to pick, and we'll find nits to pick too.
At least since that Jets game.
We always do.
There's a lot of emails that we didn't get to, so I'd appreciate it if you...
We got to some of those emails for you.
Got to those emails and help those people out, because everybody wants to get their opinions in.
Of course they do.
That's what's going to happen for the next 2 hours, and of course fantasy season is still raging, and you can get your fantasies at 4 o'clock. As for us, we'll see you tomorrow. We got to go film our TV show.
Woohoo!
Out.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.